he's given a minute and he does this promo where he says, you know, you talk about your Psalms, you talk about your 316s. Well, Austin 316 says, I just whooped your ass.
Do the hammer lock.
The socks?
Yeah.
Why do you hear the P's and Q's?
No, somebody just said I have to get them.
Who said you have to get them?
Oh, Dean Del Rey.
Oh, right. They're pretty cheap, man.
Yeah, I know. Are we already recording?
We are. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I'm Ari Shaffir, and I'm here with Steve Simone from the Good Times podcast, and I am... Well, okay, we're in Denver.
Yes.
We're doing work at the Comedy Works. A week at the Comedy Works, and we are, that's it. We got back from skiing. I wanted to do a whole skiing podcast with you and Ren Azizi.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would have been so much fun. Do you know what's really weird?
What?
I did the intro with you exactly a year ago for the Autistic Thunder podcast.
Oh, that's right. The Sunday before I went to Vail.
Yeah. Because
we
it was like
dispensaries.
Yes, we drove around to the Sunday. Pot stores. Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't have to be there till Sunday night, so I got here Sunday day. We had lunch.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, and now exactly a year later.
We're doing another intro. This one for Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 20. Yeah, I don't know either, man. Maybe 4. I think 204.
Dude, that's incredible.
204, yeah. Once
that's
a
almost
week.
4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost 4 years.
You have to do something special for the 4-year anniversary.
Well, I think the 4-year anniversary passed because when I was doing it with Red Band at Death Squad Network, some of the old ones, if you guys are looking for 1 through 21, I think, it's on deathsquad.tv.
That's awesome.
But we didn't do those every week. And then when I started doing my own, then I started every week. So I think it's longer than 4 years, but...
That's incredible.
It's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah,
especially
and it's
with
so
someone
cool
as lazy
how,
as...
Well, you're not, obviously. And how it paid off.
Yeah.
You're special. Your TV show, and then your other special on Comedy Central.
My other special.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. My other special is airing March 13th, Friday night at midnight.
Wait, it's airing at midnight on Friday the 13th?
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit, son.
That's when it happens, right?
Midnight.
Is it, yeah. Is it
Friday
before?
The 13th.
Is it before? Is it like the 12th becoming the 13th? Is that the midnight?
Yes.
Okay,
that's
so no,
the scarier
this is
one.
This is the 14th then.
Good.
This is like midnight. Night.
So there's no bad luck.
I guess so.
There is.
What could happen? Somebody especially get injured on the way to being aired.
Exactly. Like, that's that? Really cool. Is that the special that you shot in Brooklyn?
Yeah, Knitting Factory. Passive aggressive.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, there was so much less hubbub for that. No agents, no managers came. Morrissey was there. Paul Morrissey.
That's
that was
awesome.
It. He was like, your shoes are squeaking too much. Get fucking put some dust on them. I was like, oh yeah, you're right.
Mm, good point.
But yeah, they were like, should I be there? I'm like, I know how to do this. It's just my special. I don't need you there. You're just going to distract.
Yeah, get in the way.
With TV, so many more people.
It's crazy.
Talking to you and bothering you and just going over stuff. And it's just like.
I'm getting stressed just thinking about it.
Yeah, this is so much easier. It's like we scheduled a show, filled it up.
Yeah, just let me go do comedy, man.
100 people in the room. That's all we needed.
Yep.
And we're just like, let's just watch some comedy.
That's awesome.
I got this. Then we'll edit it later. We'll figure it out.
I
need you here for this.
Yeah.
I need you for the other stuff.
Isn't it weird getting that like people think they're supporting you, but they just kind of like make it more stress?
Yeah. Well, you're talking about that sometimes with like when girls that
oh, yeah,
dating
for sure.
are around and it's like you want to take care of them, but at the same time it's like I don't have time to take care of you. And they're like, oh, I'm good. You don't have to take care of me.
But then you really do.
But then you really do. Okay, hold on. Here's why I want you on this intro.
Yeah.
It's with Mike Lawrence.
I follow that guy on Twitter.
Do you really?
Yeah, he's funny.
He's great.
Is he one of those Chicago guys?
No. Mike? Where did Mike grow up? Florida.
Did he really?
Yeah. He's like... He's a Jew, but he's like white trash. His mom was a comic, too.
No
mom
way.
Mom was a failed comic. Yeah. So you know how those beauty queens, they'll have moms who like wanted to be a beauty queen?
Yes.
And so they'll like kind of be whatever, like competitive with them a little bit, or yeah. like try to live through them.
Yeah,
that's Mike Lawrence with his mom.
Wow.
Yeah. And he was like, she was terrible. Like, she wasn't a good comic.
Oh, what did his dad do to counterbalance
that? I don't know. It's kind of, hopefully, like, accountant or something.
Yeah, yeah, lame. Something like.
Why is accountant my version of what, like, a lame, I got to look at Mike's dates. He sent me something.
Because it's all. And,
yeah, his version of a lame, yeah, it's just, my brother-in-law was accountant for a while, and we're like, you have no sense of humor. You have none.
It's just all numbers. My buddy Frank is an accountant, and he's really cool.
Mike Lawrence. Okay. Mike Lawrence, just so you know, is going to be at Zany's in Chicago February 13th through the 15th and downtown Chicago. Okay. Downtown Chicago, February 13th through the 15th. You guys should all go check him out. He's really funny.
That's
cool. His spot on, not Mike Myers, Seth Myers was really good.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to have him on to talk about, sorry, talk about, like I just realized, like, oh, my shoe is on your bed.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I like the foot up situation, but yeah, I'll put that on my website as well. I do all the episodes and stuff. But this episode is about wrestling. Mike that's is a huge wrestling coolest. Guy.
Yeah, that's why I think I started to follow him on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a whole crew of comedians that are into it, which makes me happy.
Brito and Burns and all them.
Yes.
In the Silver Lake, L.A. area.
Yep.
And then Funches is now with them and stuff.
Yes.
And Matt Edgar and Hinchcliffe love all that shit.
Yep. And of course, Autistic Thunder.
Of course, Autistic Thunder. That's why he loves starting off the bros battle.
Yeah, so he loves it.
Yeah. God. And then there's all these New York guys that are into it, too. And I've asked Mike. I've had, like, arguments with him. Not arguments. Discussions. We have like nice, we don't get into fights over it, but like, why isn't this just garbage? I always thought it was garbage entertainment for white trash people. And they're like, no, I know it's fake. I know that.
Yes.
But it was always like, this is shitty entertainment. The writing is not as good as television, let alone movies. Like for the storylines, the acting is awful.
Yeah.
And so the wrestling is not real wrestling. So it's like,
what is the appeal?
So it's like, it's just bad on every level. I heard Gary Trudeau, I think, talked about cartoonists. And he said, to be a good cartoonist, you have to be a half decent writer and a half decent artist.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
Sounds like somebody just launched a career right now on the skeptic tank. I'm like, good day, Ari. I got to get to drawing.
I can draw a little. Yeah, I always thought that's what it was. And then he would say, come back to me. He goes, no, it's just getting behind stuff. It's rooting for things the same way you root for – it's like escape.
The coolest thing, and I can't explain it, is that when pro wrestling works, and lately in the modern era, it doesn't work as often.
Mm-hmm.
But when it does work, it is the coolest thing – pro wrestling.
Oh, right.
When it works – when everything lines up, it's the greatest form of entertainment there is, because it's like one part sporting event, one part rock concert. It's wrestling will make audiences go crazy like nothing. There was just a near riot in Philadelphia.
Over wrestling. Over who won?
Who won of the Royal Rumble. People were that pissed that they weren't letting the guys leave in their cars.
Who wasn't?
The fans.
Let the wrestlers leave?
Nope.
Wow. So when do they have? They have Royal Rumble on – they have Raw on Mondays.
There's a pay-per-view generally every month.
Okay. And those are like the big ones? Those are Royal Rumbles?
No. The Royal Rumble is the big pay-per-view that is the unofficial beginning of what they call the road to WrestleMania.
And WrestleMania is the Super Bowl every year?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm so old. I remember being a little kid and before pay-per-view, they had something called closed circuit. And I went to the Philadelphia Spectrum, which they sold out. 18,000 seats, maybe more for wrestling.
Wow.
20,000 people.
Yeah, you don't need that much room. You could put people on the floor.
On the floor with just giant screens to watch Hulk Hogan and Mr. T fight Paul Orndorff and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh, that was WrestleMania.
Yep.
I remember that. And I love – I remember WrestleMania 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, that stuff was incredible.
And then – and here's the deal. It's like I remember the same thing about UFC 1 and 2 and 3 where it's like you watch on pay-per-view. It's like, wow, what is this? And now it becomes so normalized. It's like whatever. Yes. But at the time, WrestleMania was like, wow, WrestleMania. And what I love more than anything was the Royal Rumble.
Oh,
because that was every man for himself.
Oh, Battle Royal is the coolest thing in wrestling.
Wait, Royal Rumble is not the same thing as Battle Royal.
Well, the Royal Rumble is the name for the entire pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And it also means that when you win the Royal Rumble,
you
get a chance to wrestle in the main event at WrestleMania for the title.
Oh, it's a different. Okay, I get it.
So it's a type of battle royal.
Okay. Okay.
A battle royal is not always a Royal Rumble, but a Royal Rumble is always a battle royal. Does that make sense?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, me and Mike went over the middle, the new range of wrestling, which I've kind of I've completely lost. My day is Hulk Hogan and,
yeah,
and the Animal and George Animal Steel and all the very clear types of, like, this guy represents the Middle East. This guy represents
the
Russia,
greatest.
The evil Russia.
Yeah.
And everyone had their own kind of thing. Even Junkyard Dogs were like, we're the ghetto.
Yeah.
You know? I didn't understand the weight classes and all that stuff, but like...
Yeah, there really wasn't back then.
But there was. It was Intercontinental, and there was whatever title.
Yeah, there was the tag team. Well, see, back then, that's when the product was growing out of the regional.
Right.
There was regional promotions.
Well, Mike gets into this.
Yeah, and then we were WWF kids because we grew up in the Northeast.
When it was already... Oh, that was the region for WWF?
Yes. And you... Actually, Maryland, Philadelphia, that would be the in-between border area.
Right, see, I had only heard of WWF.
Yeah.
And then later when I heard about TNT or WCW or something like that, I was like, what is this garbage knockoffs?
Yes.
But Mike seemed to explain to me, it's not really garbage knockoffs. They're just other organizations.
Correct.
You know?
And that stuff, like now I go back and I look at the golden era of, like, the pro wrestling, say, in 1985.
Yeah.
When Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes... were doing their thing at the same time as, like, Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper were doing the WWF. Yeah. Some of the best promos ever, which is something that's really kind of lost in modern wrestling.
Mike talks about promos and what they are. We go into what they are.
It was the greatest because Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair, their old promos, they're works of art.
Wow.
And then Macho Man Savage has one where he's throwing little canisters of cream. You got to be the cream of the crop, brother. And it's the coolest. And Ultimate Warrior was out of his mind, obviously. Well, I don't know. But out of his mind on maybe some 80s party substances.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan's promos. What you going to do, brother? It's the greatest stuff ever. It's so entertaining.
I heard back then everyone did so much coke
they
among
had
them
to have.
That they had a special handshake to know if you were cool with coke. And that if you met a wrestler... shook his hand, they would give you an oddly limp handshake. And if you shook regular, they'd meet you back regular. You know, they'd
right.
feel you, and then they'd shake your hand. But if it was oddly limp, that means you were cool. Hey, later, we're going to be doing some coke if you want to come.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what – I do know that pro wrestling grew out of the carnies.
Right. And that's fucking
so there was
meth.
They had their own language. They had their own hand signals. It was amazing. Like, through the – I was about to say the grace of God, and I don't want to get you mad. But just the way the universe works, I became friends with Roddy Piper, as you know,
that's pretty
who
cool.
I brought him to the Comedy Store. And he just is just such an awesome guy. And he just has the best stories about that stuff.
He really does.
Because he started when he was a kid. He was like 14 years old.
He told that story on my storyteller show, This Is Not Happening, which, by the way, is airing every Thursday night at 12:30 following at midnight.
On Comedy Central.
On Comedy Central, 11:30 Central, 10:30 Mountain, and also 12:30
on the
Pacific.
West Coast.
Unless you have DirecTV, then it's 9:30. God, so much stuff to put in for tweets and stuff to try to like get people to come. But this week, let me see who this week is. Last week was amazing. I got to show you that fucking Ali Sadiq story. If you haven't seen it,
and you had Bert Kreischer on too, right?
It's fucking rad. Yeah, Bert Kreischer's on, and Paul Scheer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Show, yeah. Let's see what we got here. This is not happening. Okay, here we go. Battle was last week. Family is this week. So, Rob Corddry.
Nice.
Well, that's cool.
Who is it?
Who's Rob Corddry?
No. Who else?
Ralphie May.
Nice.
Yeah, and Tom Papa.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I was there to see Tom Papa do his story.
Really, were you?
Yeah, that was cool.
So, they're all family stories. That's a great story. Yeah, Tom Papa's is really good.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's awesome. He keeps it in this, and that was like, that people were pressing that day too, because it was like a heat wave going on, and they didn't have enough air conditioning in the place. I tried to get them to get a second air conditioner, but they couldn't do it.
Wow.
So the crowd was tired. I mean, I made sure to pass out water to them while they're in line, you know, ahead of time, and everyone's pressing and cursing a little more. You see in Ren Azizi's, he curses a little more than he normally would. That's what comics do sometimes. When they feel the crowd's not into it, they like go harder at them.
100%, yeah. And I'm stealing that term, pressing.
Yeah, and that's what you do. You press.
Yeah, I felt that way with last night's audience.
Really?
First time I was like, why am I saying bad words? And
It's not even thought out. You just do it.
It just happened.
Tom Papa didn't at all. He just stayed in the zone with his fucking jacket on.
He's a comedy assassin.
He's a comedy assassin. He really is.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah. So he's on this week with Ralphie and Corgi. And Corgi, probably the best of all the non-comedians that did it. He really worked at it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, sent me a tape. Like, what do you think of this?
Dude, he's the guy from Hot Tub Time Machine, right?
He's the guy from Hot Tub Time Machine,
I can't wait for the new one of those.
I got to watch the old one because I heard the old one's great.
It's awesome.
Really?
Yeah, I can't believe why it wasn't a bigger
movie. The commercials are great, though, too. What's the black guy from The Office?
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on.
Well, I can't remember his name. I have a block on his name, and I like him.
Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah.
And he's a good singer, too. I bought the Hot Tub Time Machine soundtrack.
Really?
Well, I got it from Boom Chocolata.
We went to play pool once. Oh, really? Yeah, pool for $1.
Craig Robinson.
Like, this could work. This could not work. I bought a Madden from Boone. I don't think I ever tried it, though. For $1, I'll give it a chance.
Let's roll the dice.
We went to play pool, and we're on the way. He, like, pulls out of his fucking jacket this giant pipe that's all packed with weed. He goes, "What you know about this?" Like, I know a little about it.
That's a stir.
Yeah, it was fun. But, yeah, he's singing that, like... what was it? Kiss Me.
Oh, yeah. But on the first movie, he did Jesse's Girl. And I actually.
But he changed the lyrics to I Missed You to I Kissed You. Yeah. He changed the lyrics. It goes
and
back
you
in time.
Say,
yeah. I only want what you want to.
He's so funny. And he's really nice.
Super great guy. I like that guy. He's always cool to everybody.
Always.
Everybody's happy when he's around. He was in Maui, too.
That's so cool.
You got to try to go next year. What was I going to say? All right, well, let's start the episode.
Yeah,
I want to talk about
some
old school stuff. This episode is going to be all about the new school stuff. CM Punk.
Love that guy.
He takes through it a little bit. But then at the outro, I'll go over with you a little bit about the heyday of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, sure, man. I love all that
and
stuff.
And what that was.
I love it all.
But let's start. What do you think I should do for a title for this? I was thinking...
The Squared Circle.
What?
The Squared Circle.
The Squared Circle? Is that what people call it?
Yeah, that's what they call the wrestling ring. Because it grew out of the Greeks fighting in the... And the Romans.
Oh.
People would fight in a circle.
The Squared Circle.
Yeah, the Squared Circle.
That wouldn't be for boxing. Mm-mm. I was thinking calling it wrestling. But
oh, there you go. That's great, too.
Wow. I like the Squared Circle, though. Would wrestler people know what that means?
Yeah.
Would other people know what that means?
I don't know. Probably not.
Wrestling, everybody would know.
Yeah, everybody knows. Use that.
Use wrestling?
Yeah. Because then if it doesn't work and it was my idea, I'd feel terrible. So just use your idea.
Sometimes you're too nice, Simone.
No.
Sometimes you're like, all right, just go. I'm tying my shoe. You don't have to hold it over for me. Go. You're fucking pressing me now.
As long as puppies stop and let me pet them, that's when I know I'm living a good life.
God, that was fun yesterday.
The best.
All right, so here we go. Let's do it. Hold on. I got to do some dates. I always forget this shit. There's no fucking sponsors, just some dates. Oh, but if you do want to help, go to my Amazon link. Go to RAShafir.com or RAthegreat.com. On the right-hand side, there's an Amazon link. Click on that. It takes you to Amazon. When you do your regular Amazon shopping, And then you just do shopping as normal, and they pay me a percentage off their end. So here's dates. You have any dates, Simone, coming up?
Edmonton.
When is that? February, my birthday.
Yeah, I'm going to be there. I was like, I'm not going to be able to go to the zoo. But Edmonton, 11th through the 15th.
Edmonton at the Comic Strip.
Mm-hmm.
Good, solid club. Loved it. Tried to do my first CD there.
It's that good?
Yeah, but the audio didn't come out right.
Oh, man.
But, no, it's a great club.
I can't wait. I love Canadians.
There's cooler audiences. They just know how to be like comedy audiences. So here's what I got for dates. This is not happening. My next This Is Not Happening show is on February 10th at the Improv. It's $5 because they're experimental shows. So it's me, like always, Guy Branum, Natasha Leggero, Brooks Whelan, Eric Andre, and maybe one more. So hurry up. Get tickets. $5, 8 o'clock at the Improv. On the 10th. And then I'm in Seattle at the Parlor, February 19th through the 21st, the downtown Seattle Parlor.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, Ruben. I love that club.
Yeah, there's no link right now on my website because I don't use Laughstub. So I'm trying to fucking completely revamp my website for the dates just for this. But we'll see. And then Portland the first weekend of March and Brea the weekend after that. All right, let's start. All right, here we go. Ari Shafir, Skeptic Tank, episode 204. I looked it up.
Nice, with Mike Lawrence, and you're talking wrestling.
Well, my girlfriend called. Friend, she could be a model for Fredericks of Hollywood, but she was hassling. Really hassling. Said I could come over early and stay real late, but I told her, honey, if we have a date, we're going to wrestling. Going to wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. There's Kevin Von Erich when he's really high and flying. Silver-haired Ric Flair when he's out there strutting.
Andre the Giant must be 7'9". I wouldn't miss this for a dozen girls. I wouldn't miss this for this. I said, honey, I hope you ain't hurt. She said, I'm putting on my wrestling shirt. I'm going to wrestle. Going to wrestle. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling.
Yeah, I never saw Funny People. I was too afraid it was going to make me mad. Do you mind just starting?
Just go for it. Yeah.
But you thought it was terrible. I heard the last like 30 minutes was a longer false ending than fucking Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Oh, yeah. It just keeps going. Then they never leave Marin County.
What do you mean?
Like they go to Marin County where like Sandler's like ex is, and she's like currently, you know, married to another guy, and it's like you just feel like it's this weird vacation, and it doesn't end. It just doesn't end. It's funny. It's like I literally just saw The Jerk in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles for the first time ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, both those.
Now, The Jerk, before you go into it, The Jerk was a slapsticky, goofy comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles was an amazing movie.
Yeah.
It was just
But
like,
both are great.
Wow.
And it's like both are 90 minutes.
In and out. They get it done.
Yeah.
They get it done.
Yeah, like
Birdman. I saw Birdman with Dave Smith.
Oh, nice!
I fall asleep a couple times.
I love it.
I mean,
I can see that though.
Like,
yeah,
and it was cool and interesting, but man, it was like, did we need the extra fucking 42 minutes on top of the 90?
There is that thing of
especially if you're gonna do one long take for most of the movie.
You know what it is? Sometimes
like, fucking shorten those long takes
when it's like when when it's longer to reiterate a point, it's like you just
made
one scene to, you know, it's like, we know he's crazy. We know he's sad.
But they even said that in the movie. The guy's like, you can use, instead of saying all four of these things, you can just say one. Just hit it with one. And then it's like, well, then listen.
Yeah.
Listen to your fucking characters.
Yeah, I don't, it's funny because it's like, you know,
the second time he fake commits suicide.
We're cheap Jews, so it really says something when we're like, we want less of something, you know? But it's true. It's like, even if I pay like $15 to go see a movie, I'm okay with it being. I don't feel gypped if it's good.
Yeah.
I feel gypped if it's long and terrible.
You know, the only reason you're allowed to say gypped is because gypsies are not internet savvy.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that would be just as bad as Jewing someone down.
Oh, they would have the worst trolls. If they could curse you through Twitter.
They would have the best trolls. They would have nonstop trolls.
And you shall be unfollowed.
I wonder how gypsies never got on with like internet scams. Or maybe they do.
Yeah, who knows?
Maybe that is all gypsies.
Yeah.
It sounds like them, right?
Yeah. It does.
Who had a brother who fell for one once.
Yeah, because like Thinner, the book, I guess, was written like in the 80s or whatever, but the movie's like, you know, like mid to late 90s. And I wonder if there were like gypsy rights groups that are like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Or Drag Me to Hell.
Me to Hell. They had that gypsy lady. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And that's pretty recent, you know?
Gypsy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny People. I don't know.
It's too long.
Too long. I saw a show once. I was doing a show in San Diego at the Comedy Store. Have you ever been to La Jolla Comedy Store?
No.
Oh. You ever go to the Comedy Store yet? You're never out there.
When I'm there, I perform there and stuff. Like they don't, you know. I do like the mics, and I've done like one or two people's shows. I judge roast battle as much as I can.
Yeah, that's great.
I got to do it with Jason Reitman and John Mayer last week. And
really?
It was one of the most fun things.
Mayer's not that bad.
Oh, no.
Mayer's like...
And he takes it, man. I just kept shitting on him.
He definitely takes it. And he's super charismatic. And he'll come with like... He won't be like... I mean, there's a lot of comics who are way worse than him at that.
Oh, yeah.
Like good headliner comics.
Oh, yeah.
That I'm like, what? Get more Mayer. Get more shit-ass Mayer.
The thing is, like when you're like a judge, it's like you've got to have jokes too.
I remember the first time I did it with Neil Brennan. It was me, Neil Brennan, and Rel or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was like, and Neil afterwards, and I didn't know what the story was. I was like, and you know, I hadn't seen it ever before.
Yeah.
Like, going to judge this thing. I was like, okay. This
yeah,
was
yeah.
A half ago, 2 years ago. And I was like, okay. But then, you know, I make jokes and stuff. And Neil was like, oh, are we supposed to make jokes? And I'm like, Neil, They had comedians up judging a comedy thing in a comedy room. Like,
the minute
they would
someone,
have to stop you from making jokes.
The minute someone gives you a microphone, you know,
it's
like
it's on.
Us at a eulogy, we should be making jokes.
Why like, do they ask you to do it?
Yeah.
Unless you're Rogan and they ask you to do commentary for fighting.
Yeah, it was either you or Nobel Peace Prize winner Malala Yousafzai.
Toni Morrison died, so so they figured why not get the guy with the beard?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, less time. Oh, but so I was seeing a show in San Diego, and it was somebody, and then this guy, Pete Carbone, and he was real in stride right then.
Yeah.
And then me, and at the end of Pete's set, he did 30. At the end of his set, I was like towards the end, I'm like, we could all just go home. This feels done. You know?
How long was the show?
An hour and a half total. But I'm like, it could have been 50.
Yeah.
Like, it really easy, and no one would have been upset.
Yeah.
Like, this is fine. That's what they do in England. They do hour-long shows.
They have intermissions and stuff, and then it works. You get like a full. I think 90 minutes like max for comedy movies, for comedy shows. Well, but this is the thing that people forget, like the audience has to work the entire time.
What do you mean?
You know,
laughing,
reacting, mm-hmm. not even just you know giving it up. Like literally, like give it up for this guy, give it up for that guy, and at the end, it's like the giving. I've given up all I can give. I've given it all up. There's nothing left. Like it's that thing.
That's
too.
Like Schindler at the end of it.
Yeah, like, I mean, even if everyone's doing like 7 minute sets, if you have 10 people go up, and that's technically like plus a host a 80 minute show.
Oh yeah, with a lot of people, it adds to the show.
Oh yeah,
you can have an hour 20, but if you have 7 comics, it's too long.
Yeah,
7-8 comics, it's like that's like guys, we're tired now.
You know what it is? Is that it's well,
you
I mean,
to rediscover a new person every time, and like your brain takes time to process that.
Well, it's a thing of like, it really is. I mean, the best equation is porn, because you watch a porn, and once you jerk off, I don't need to see how this ends.
Yeah.
You know? So did they eat the pizza? Like, I don't fucking care. Like, you went in for one specific purpose, which you fulfilled. Like, that to me is like a stand-up.
Yeah.
Well, I laughed enough.
So I'm good. I got it.
Yeah.
I got it. Like, why didn't you do this part? Like, what part? I got it. You already got there.
If 10 minutes of your week consisted of you laughing, that's a good fucking week.
Yeah.
Just even 10 minutes. That's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Yeah. So I just found out you have a podcast, Nerd of Mouth.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
4 years it's been going. I had no idea.
That's okay.
When I first interviewed you about comic books, had you already been going at that point?
That was 2010. That was either I had or we had just started.
Right.
It started at the end of 2010, and we talk comic books. We talk pro wrestling. We talk we review all the superhero movies, and we do it. Most nerd podcasts are very congratulatory and like celebratory, and like it's great to be a nerd, and don't we love all this stuff? And we are very much a bridge burning podcast. Like
you do the New York version of that nerd podcast.
Oh yeah, if you phoned it in, we'll call you out. If you if you suck, we admit it. It's probably not the best for my career.
Honestly, who cares though?
Yeah.
Here's what I finally realized. When Joe Rogan got on that show or started running that show, The Man Show.
Yeah.
And me and David Taylor were like, let's write a packet. Like we were working on a packet for My Name is Earl or something.
Yeah, yeah.
We're like, dude, we have an in. Let's go for it right now.
Yeah.
And he said anything goes, so it's like, let's do some fucking hard hitting anti-religion stuff and like fucking get in there. And then we realized like, oh, he did all he could. He got his one friend in as a writer, and he got his other friend in as a host.
Yeah.
And that's it. So I'm like, if the one guy who could really help us in this position still can't help us, no one's holding you back in Hollywood because you talk shit about them.
Yeah.
No one's going to be like, get out. You're about to get this part.
Yeah.
Get out. It just doesn't happen.
Dude, and even like that conversation, look, man, I got my one guy in. You're just like, okay.
Yeah, you exactly. Know, okay, I'll still be friends with you.
Yeah, yeah. And I like that guy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Good call. You should have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good pick.
Yeah, I read through my packet.
There was holes.
I remember I did a packet for Nikki and Sarah, and one of my jokes in the monologue packet was Kesha's newest album is called Die Hard. Let's hope it's her newest promise. No, mm-hmm. Die Young, called Die Young. Yeah, and you know, let's hope her newest promise is that she dies young. And then their first guest was Kesha. And I was like, fair enough.
Yeah.
It wasn't for me.
Yeah, that's what you realize. It's just not for me.
Yeah, that's fine.
No biggie.
But that's what's great now is that there is a place for everyone in some way. Even if it's, what is it, like if you get the 10,000 fans. And if you get, and like for me, I feel like, you know, it's like been one by one. Like every week,
fans.
It's a new person, but it's like, welcome aboard.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So yeah. Who cares?
I'll give you all the Fraggle jokes you want.
I love Fraggle Rock.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the I downloaded all of them recently.
Yeah, you can't go back.
You can't. It's for kids, and it's for kids in the 80s.
And it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, a lot of that stuff. Like
oh, jeez, we should go look. And it's like, oh, I can't get behind this.
Ooh, I remember I went to like Target and I saw like a 10 episodes of Ninja Turtles for $5. I'm like, oh, yeah, got to go back in time. Oof, you can't. You just realize how bad the voice acting is, how bad the animation is. It's
really?
All stilted. They never actually like do anything. It's really, it's terrible.
It's just like showing running.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It got me through my parents' divorce. It served a purpose. But it's, you know, it's like, you are older now. Go find other things. Look, there's pussy. Eat that.
Yeah, that's what I see people going to see The Who, like right now with the Rolling Stones. Like, guys, find the new band. This band is done.
Yeah.
Go find the new band. They're not
hard
hitting.
You know what it is, too? It's like, there are guys in their 20s, which is what they were when they wrote their shit.
When they became famous.
Yeah.
The thing that fucking energy that made them famous
and
in the
anger
first place.
And,
someone else is doing that right now. You missed it on the Rolling Stones. I missed it on Nirvana. We missed it.
Yeah,
go find the people who are doing it.
Yeah,
it's all over New York and LA,
and some of it's really good.
Yeah,
and some of it's better.
Yeah, and Austin and Portland and Seattle, it's everywhere.
Remember there's like that mid-2000s, it was like Jet and the Hives and the Strokes, where it was like all these bands that the Killers, and it was all like, let's sound like the 70s. They did, and I liked it.
Yeah.
They faded too, you know.
Killers were great for
while. That first album is incredible.
You know, I love that song where it goes, I got soul, but
that's my favorite one.
Soldier. I love that riff.
I've got soul, but I'm not a soldier.
Yeah.
All and these things that I've done. Yeah.
What does that mean?
That's the name of the song.
Oh, right. All Things I've Done.
All these things that I have done.
Yeah. I love when that fucking fat black lady comes in at the end.
Oh, yeah. It's so great. That whole song. Like, just the beginning when he just, when it's like really like quiet. One more song and you can't go home. Yeah. It's awesome.
All right. Well, the reason I wanted to have you on today.
Yeah.
Was because, one, you're funny. No.
Thanks.
The reason I want to have you on about this topic is because you're funny, but also because you know it. I want to talk about wrestling.
Yeah.
I want you to explain.
There aren't many people who like wrestling that are funny, so it's like me and four other people.
I've seen a rejuvenation, whatever it is, among especially the hipsters comic, the alt scene in L.A., and probably that overlaps to the alt scene here. I don't really know.
It's definitely its own thing. I mean, you're talking you guys like McCarthy and Funches and O'Connor.
Yeah, and Bridenstine and Burns and all those guys.
And
then also Tony Hinchcliffe and Matt Edgar and people like that aren't alt guys.
Yeah. I would say, though,
what?
95 to 99% of it, they all liked it as kids.
They did.
Yeah, most of them. There was the one or two.
Yeah.
There's a comic here is really funny. Eli Sayers and his girlfriend Ali Preer, who's also a comic. She just got into it for the first time.
Really?
Like they're dating. He's liked it, and now she likes it.
Expose her to it, and she's like,
go to like the shows together and shit. And that's kind of cool to see. It's like my wife. I mean, I show her some of it. She can watch it in small doses. We went to go see Monday Night Raw a few months ago.
Away, really?
Yeah.
And she like it.
There were moments.
I went to watch, I think, Wow or Glow. Do you know Eleanor Kerrigan?
No, but
I
know.
She was Dice's girlfriend in that reality show.
Oh, wow.
But she also was his girlfriend right up until they started filming that reality show. So, like, too late. You're still playing the girlfriend.
Yeah.
She's a comic. She used to be the head waitress of the Comedy Store. But she was a women wrestler for a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was Easy Rider. In the group called Harley's Angels.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and we went down to the forum or something like that. Rogue, a bunch of comics went. And, you know, there was 150 people in a 5,000-seat arena. But it was so much fun.
That's the thing is that watching it on TV, I think, takes a lot more dedication and fandom. But you could take anyone live, and there's this energy there. And it's like – because you don't get to do at a wrestling show – you know, that behavior you can't do anywhere else in the way that you can do it there. So, like, for – and you can see, I know you've asked me before what the appeal of it
is. Yeah, what's the appeal? I definitely want to get into that.
Oh, of course, yeah. So a lot of it comes from that, like, that live – because, you know
– such a fun live experience.
I mean, the first thing I'll say is that the main argument that people have against it is that it's fake, and to me, that's what makes it great. Because,
well, we got to explain that.
Okay. Well, for instance, when you're with that 150 people, what you do matters. If
what do you mean what you do? You, who's you? The audience member?
The audience.
Okay.
Your chance and your reactions help create that match.
Help get that fucking Hulk Hogan. Yeah, like, well, a lot of thing. Like, let me hear you.
Well, a lot of the best guys improvise in the ring. They have a basic. Excuse me, a basic outline of what they're going to do, and then it's called calling it in the ring. So they'll, when you'll see like a guy in like a rest hold, when a guy has like another guy's head, you know, like they're talking. They're basically, okay, so what's next? You're going to throw me in the ropes. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Now, in sports, people chant and cheer, and maybe it has some effect, but at the end of the day, a lot of the times, you were going to miss that ball anyway, nothing or you were going to right. – yeah, it, I'm sure it has something to do with it. But with wrestling, it clearly does because they have to respond. You know, the wrestlers are you know, responding to the reactions. Like the best – that's the best wrestling, you know. Yeah. If the way that they'll like structure a match, they purposely put in sequences that make people – go quiet and bored so that when something big happens, so it means something. Yeah.
How the fuck do you turn off this goddamn ringer?
I don't know.
Sorry.
That's okay.
It's a fucking flip phone, and I don't know how to use it, man.
Is it a replacement phone?
No, I'm going to this now.
Oh. So you got off smartphones?
Got off smartphones.
Just too much time
sound
wasted?
Profiles. Silent. Too much time wasted is exactly right.
Oh, wow.
Too much time.
I respect that.
I've been talking about getting off like my data plan for a while.
Yeah.
Just using Wi-Fi, you know. And if I don't have Wi-Fi, then I can't use it.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, it's the same shit. I can do everything without.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, I can still like have all my emails there and waste all that time and check. And when I do have Wi-Fi, then I'll check like crazy.
Yeah.
I have Wi-Fi in my apartment. I stay in bed for 2 hours.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I have an addiction. That, I mean, I'm proud. How long has it been?
A day.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Is it tough?
Tell you what, texting is not very easy.
Oh no, with the flip. Oh yeah,
God, you go back those. I don't know how to get caps.
Well, that's the thing too. Is that like I miss? I remember like you know back in my day. You know back when you know I'm younger than you, but it's like when fucking you would just you would spend a night like just calling a girl and that was it. No one does that anymore.
Well.
Or even a friend. Like I would just talk to a friend for like an hour.
Instead of texting back and forth for an hour. While you're watching South Park.
Yeah.
Which is like less of a connection than really talking to them.
Yeah. You're doing a disservice to the person you're talking to. You're doing a disservice to the show that's being made because you're not paying attention to it as
much. Oh, right. Exactly. Just do the show and then do the talking.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever I talk to like on text like Nick DiPaolo or Robert Kelly, anyone like older than me.
Yeah.
After you go back and forth like 5 times, they call you. Keith Robbins and Ty's like, all right, man, what are we doing here? Let's just talk.
I know,
like,
yeah.
You're like, you're right, dude.
Yeah.
You're right. I don't know why we've been texting
I get upset about
20 minutes.
That. Yeah.
You know,
what
definitely
corner?
Text me an address.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the address you got to go to. Yeah. Great. Now I have it written down. That was easier.
But like if it's a, you know, if it's like, all right, we're going to meet at this part. And then like once it goes 5 back and forth, okay, what part? When this? And then if someone
understand.
Comes up with an excuse, like we could fucking settle this in 30 seconds and it's fine.
Yeah.
And then it's over.
Text is good for, hey, guys, me and so-and-so are going to go to see this movie at this time. You're all welcome to come.
Text is good for the shit you don't want to say to someone in person.
There's that too.
You know, I'm late. You don't want to call Absolutely. Someone to say you're late. You want to text to say you're late because it takes away some of the guilt.
Yeah. And also there's something to like texting where it's like, I don't need – if you don't get this right away, it's okay.
Yeah.
And if you don't get back to me right away, it's okay.
Yeah.
You're busy doing stuff, but just so you know, there's a message coming in for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to be late. Yeah, you don't want to tell them you're late. You're right.
So wrestling. No, but that's like the main appeal is that your reactions matter. that there is a democracy to it in some ways. I mean,
but Vince that's not true with massive scale things, is it?
It is, because at the end of the day, and I mean, Vince McMahon is out of touch and kind of shitty and has been doing it too long. He's definitely.
He's Howard Stern'd it?
He's Lorne Michaels it. There's Lorne definitely Michaels. That parallel of the guy
I was
who's
just
been
about
there.
Him on the cab right over here, Lorne Michaels, that he's lost touch.
He just
he's
can't let go.
Now, and he's like, oh, yeah. I don't know. Do you guys know what?
That's the thing. It's like SNL, like, it's, I don't, I like, it's fine as a comedy, whatever, but, like, it really is a kid's show.
It's a kid's
show. And so is wrestling. You know, they're very much similar with the, even with, like, they have, like, background sketches and stuff, and, you know, it, but there are, like, people who still watch SNL every week.
But it's made for 14-year-old boys.
Are, oh, yeah, and wrestling. They're very similar.
Yeah, that's another question.
But once you're 70, how do you know what a fucking 14-year-old boy wants?
Well, I always had this question of, like, if you're a teacher, how do you, if you're like a fourth grade teacher, how do you know the difference between an A paper and a C paper from fourth graders? You went to college, you graduated from, you know, SUNY.
Yeah.
Like, you're smart, you're on Dean's List, multiple, and you don't have to know what's a slightly worse fourth grade paper. They're all terrible. You know what I mean? You've lost your, like, range. If you're in fifth grade, you can know.
But some can show progress and stuff. Like some, like
improvement.
Yeah, or a basic understanding more than others.
Small amount of change. So the thing, like guys like Lorne Michaels, like, oh, you don't know the difference between like good kid shit and bad kid
shit.
Yeah. It's all just kid shit.
It was so amazing was I was watching this weekend, whatever, you know, this was like – we're recording on Christmas Eve, but the last episode, and they had a sketch about Kim Jong-un with Bobby Moynihan playing him, and the whole joke was that, like, you know, he shouldn't do that because he's going to get killed. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh, this is weird that a white guy is playing, you know, and then they, like, point out, like, you know, they never point out how weird it is that a white guy is playing a North Korean, but they just point out that, like, he shouldn't be because he'll get assassinated by the North Korean government. And then in the next sketch, Bobby Moynihan's playing Hurley from Lost, and the whole sketch is about Cuba, and every single person who's in it, maybe Cecily Strong's Latino, but it's all white people playing Latinos, and it's just so weird.
It's like, why are you guys doing this sketch?
But it's like, if I was a kid, I'd be like, oh, that kind of looks like Pitbull. Oh, that kind of, you know, but as an adult, I'm thinking too much
about it.
Like, and as a comedian, when you're watching something going, there needs to be more diversity, you're like, what the fuck? Did I lose? Did I read too many blogs? Am I becoming a blog myself?
You just want to be authentic. That's a, or do less sketches about Cuba and North Korea.
Yeah.
Did you hear the newest thing about North Korea? All these like security experts are weighing in.
Yeah.
And they're like, it was not a fucking North Korean hack. It was a disgruntled employee. You're absolutely wrong. The reasons you're giving are fucking because it had coding from a North Korean hack of 3 years
ago. What I love is that
you're using it as an excuse to go to war with North Korea.
I love that there's like interview conspiracy theorists now. Uh-huh. It's nice when there's a conspiracy theory that isn't about 3,000 people burning alive in a building.
It is nice.
It's just like it's nice. No one's been killed. That's kind of nice.
Let's talk about what we really think happened here. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a few people probably lost their jobs. I, you know, what Sony did to Spider-Man and the things I love, I can't be too sad. Fuck them. They leaked my childhood.
exactly. Who cares? Do you think it's based on the audience response?
I think that's what it comes from, that you initially – like there's an emotional investment that matters. Like, a great example is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Okay? Mm-hmm. So let's look at Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And he fought for WWE.
Eventually, but okay. he initially – you know, and I know the whoever listens to this who is a hardcore wrestling fan will be like, yeah, you know, and fact check and all that. He originally, as far as I know, started out in the Dallas promotion,
Well, don't worry about that.
World class. Not WCW. But World Class in Dallas. He started there. Then he moved on to WCW, World Championship Wrestling.
Is that where he made his name?
That's where he was kind of known. And he was in this tag team called the Hollywood Blondes with – now, he had hair back then.
Really?
Yeah, he had hair. Yeah, he had blonde hair. It was starting to thin, so you could see why he shaved it. And he was with this guy, Brian Pillman, and Brian Pillman was awesome. And people – people started to get into them more. So let's say at that point they were like supporting actors. They were at that like Steven Root level of like, yeah, okay. Or even
Ken Jeong.
We can, yeah, or let's say like J.K. Simmons, and then he now has gets his Whiplash moment of like of the years of hard work paid off. And
J.K. Simmons, the guy from Oz?
Yeah.
Okay, and Juno?
Yeah, but now he's like getting
people respecting him now. Finally,
well, yeah. Now he's in. I mean, they always have, but now he's like in this movie Whiplash, where most people think like he's going to get the Oscar. He's fucking great in it, and that's like years and years. Or Cranston in Breaking Bad. You know,
after a while, people go, you know what, this guy's pretty good. Yeah. They're just people like him.
Yeah, okay. Cranston in Breaking Bad is like the best example. You know, he's in. You know, the a working actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even like Seinfeld, you're like, oh, that guy's good, but you don't remember him that much. Mm-hmm. And then Malcolm in the Middle, you're like, okay, so let's say WCW is Steve Austin's Malcolm in the Middle, where you start to really notice him, but he's not there yet. And then he gets the WWF at the time, and they give him this shitty character. He's in shitty matches.
But what do you mean, shitty character?
His character is the ringmaster. He's working with a bad guy manager. He's not being given a chance to fully embrace who he is yet. But the thing, and I forgot to mention this, what happens between WCW, where he was in the Hollywood Blondes, and WWF is that he got fired from WCW. And for a few months, he was in a promotion called ECW, which was like this like alternative like punk rock wrestling promotion that created a lot of great ideas that were stolen by bigger companies later on. But he gets to be himself for the first real time. He gets
now, what
to
does that mean himself? Because you're talking about doing a character. So what does that mean?
He complains on the shows about being held back in WCW, that he should have been a star and that he wasn't. He complains about getting fired by FedEx, and it's something that people relate to.
Getting fired by FedEx?
Yeah.
As an FedEx employee?
No, getting fired via FedEx.
He just gets
a letter that says you're done. You know, not even a phone call.
Okay.
So then he goes to WWF.
That's real. That's what you mean by real.
That's real, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's always the blurring of the fantasy and the reality.
Yeah.
And the more real elements there, the more interesting it becomes. So
Hitler always loved saying that.
Yeah. but the moment that you saw him in ECW, you're like, I always knew this guy was good, but I never knew he was that good. Then he starts off in WWF as the
that good as a character, but not as a wrestler we're talking about. We're talking about as a character, you're saying. When you say always knew he was good, but not that good. What are you referring
to? Well, as a performer.
Okay.
The performer performs as the character.
So it's all of it.
Yeah, it's all of it.
So it's all of it put together.
Yeah. So then he goes into WWF. He's had this one like blowout performance in essentially an indie film, and you're like, all right, now this guy's on the big leagues. I really want to see what he does. And he gets this shitty character, the ringmaster, where it's just his basic character is supposed to be he wrestles well and that's it. But then he's given some microphone time and he slowly starts what they call in wrestling.
He wrestles well and that's it. That's his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What they call it in wrestling is getting over. You have to get yourself over with the fans. It's getting popular, you know.
And to however you do that.
Yeah. So now, the real life thing is that Triple H was supposed to win the 1996 King of the Ring, but him and a few other guys decided to do this thing in Madison Square Garden called the Curtain Call, where the five of them were all great friends, and they all came out together and took a bow, and some of them were good guys and bad guys, and that was frowned upon, you know, because the little kids, you know, it ruins the illusion. So Triple H, who was the lowest on the totem pole of those guys at the time, was reprimanded, and he was supposed to win the 1996 King of the Ring. And they were like, well, we've noticed that this Stone Cold guy, because he was only ringmaster a little while, then he came in with the name Stone Cold one day and was like, I want to be Stone Cold. They liked it. They're like, okay. So
they just changed his name in the same organization?
Oh, yeah. That happened.
He was low level enough nobody noticed.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So they're like, okay, let's fucking do that. And it's also he was Steve Austin in the other organization. That's just been his wrestling name since he started.
Okay.
And so they're like, he went from the Ringmaster Steve Austin to, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And they realized, all right, this guy's starting to get over a little bit. And in one moment, he's wrestling the King of the Ring. And the finals, he wins against Jake the Snake Roberts, who's sad guy.
And he was old at the time, Jake the Snake, because he was from my childhood.
Yeah, and his character was that he was a born-again Christian.
What? Jake the Snake?
Yeah, at that point.
Because he had been born-again Christian? Was that why he did that?
Yeah, that was, you know, and like I said, I'm taking those real elements and putting them into your character. Yeah. And
lame.
So fucking Stone Cold does this... he's given a minute. They're like, look, you're going to have a minute at the end after you beat Jake the Snake to just cut a promo. Cutting a promo is, you know, when they talk, which is basically promotion. That's the point. You know, I'll fight you next week at the Omni.
And that's when people were in front of Mean Gene. And they were like, give me the mic. And they were like yelling at people.
Correct.
And then Mean Gene would always play into it well. He's like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe
it. And that's a way that wrestlers could get themselves over. If your promos were good, if your promos were exciting. I mean, there are people who still remember, you know, Ultimate Warrior promos, even though they were batshit crazy, or Macho Man, you know. Yeah. Like, but they're memorable promos.
I think it was The Rock, but it might have been Steve Austin.
Oh, he's
I think
a guy
it was
The Rock. Sure.
And he goes, he was in Kansas City, and he takes the mic. He goes, Kansas City. Your women are all fat, and your barbecue tastes like cardboard and ketchup.
Yeah.
And they're like, boo!
It's great.
Yeah.
But he's getting himself, you know.
They all talked about him. Fuck that guy.
Now, the opposite, well, not, I mean, the bad guy version of getting over is getting heat. Because the good guy wants
getting
to
heat?
Get. Yeah.
Heat or he?
Heat. Like, you know, it's hot. Heat.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because a good guy wants to get over, and the good guys are called the baby faces. And the bad guys are called the heels. So the baby face's job is to get over. The heel's job is to get heat.
Okay.
And these are a lot of these come from carnival terms.
Okay.
But to finish the Stone Cold story first, so he's given a minute and he does this promo where he says, you know, you talk about your Psalms, you talk about your 316s. Well, Austin 316 says, I just whooped your ass. And it got him even more over.
That's why all the people had the signs, Austin 316.
After that, yeah.
After that, from that thing.
From that thing.
Wait, I'm going to include this on the website. What is that? Where is that from?
That's from King of the Ring 96.
King of the Ring 96.
And it's a seminal moment in wrestling history.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
There's definitely YouTube videos I can embed on that, right?
Yeah, I mean, Austin is, you know, people could argue Hogan is more memorable, but Austin made more money than anybody. Austin's the biggest of all time.
Really?
Yeah. He has a much briefer window than Hogan did of being in the prime spotlight. But yeah, because that's the appeal of wrestling. That's where, like, especially comedians, you know how there are comedians like look, the best example I could think of in terms of comedy is the Bernie Mac "I Ain't Scared of You Motherfuckers" set. You know, where you can find a defining moment that made someone a star.
Bill Burr, 7 minutes.
Exactly. It's his promo. He cut a promo on the Philadelphia audience, and it got him over with a crowd that wanted to hate him. He came out there, and what they call it is a turn, when you turn. So,
turn the crowd.
But often the crowd turns you. So
what do you mean?
The crowd, if you go out every time as a good guy, and the crowd boos you every time, a lot of times the company will decide, well, you should just be a heel.
Because they're going to boo you anyway, man.
Yeah. But use the booze.
Yeah.
Use the booze. Because at the end of the day, like in comedy, the important thing is that you got a fucking reaction. When people are truly hated in wrestling, they just get nothing.
Right. That's the worst. That's kind of bomb. No, it's
I mean,
kind of bomb.
The Rock started out when he came in, you know, he was in like the University of Miami, you know, he was a college football player. His dad was a pro wrestler. He had all of this like push, like, and a push is like, we're going to push you to the top.
Yeah.
And he came in, they already knew that he was going to be a star, but he came in as his father was Rocky Johnson, and, you know, he was a black wrestler, and his grandfather was High Chief Peter Maivia, who was like this Samoan, like, high chief, you know, like kind of like this, you know, all, you know, I shall answer all your questions about the oceans, you know,
and
like that kind of. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And fucking, so he comes out, his first character, was Rocky Maivia, the father's first name, the grandfather's last name. He is wearing like the island clothes and everything, and he's a good guy. And they're just like, they called him the Blue Chipper. Like, look at, you know, Jim Ross is like, look at that Blue Chipper, you know, hot, you know, like looking Rocky Maivia. And the crowd started to chant, "Die, Rocky, die." Like, they fucking hated him.
Hated the Rock.
Because he was this goofy, smiling, happy guy. And this is the 90s when, you know, extreme. So, right. And Stone Cold was starting to get big and all that. And that was the same time period. And so what they did was, they're like, well, they fucking hate you anyway. Be a bad guy. And that's where, you know, the Kansas City shit starts to come. And
so then you can get over either way, either heat or get over either, and then people start talking about you on the internet or whatever, or just people at home going, "Did you see that? What's his name this week?"
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean,
and then the more people want you, the more the promoter is like, "Well, we'll put this guy on. You're selling tickets."
Well, here's a great example of that. Here's a double turn is that when two guys both switch sides in the same match. The Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania 13 in 97 against Bret the Hitman Hart. And Bret the Hitman Hart had been a good guy for so long. And he was like, you know, his whole thing was like he was this Canadian guy. And he would give his glasses to kids in the front row, which depressed me. His sunglasses. Oh, I remember this depressed. Here are my bifocals.
I'm not the same prescription as you, man.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
And then, now he just gives out LASIK coupons. I remember when I was a kid.
That was more important than eyesight.
we would be up in like the fucking bleachers. I would be with my dad. And I'm like, maybe he's going to come up here. And he's like, he doesn't visit us, son. Yeah. It's like fucking like Santa in the projects. Santa ain't coming here.
But there's no chimneys. That's right.
They yeah. Yeah, that's why. but so Bret the Hitman Hart, he was starting to get stale, and people were starting to get bored of him. And Stone Cold was a bad guy, but people were liking him. They're like, well, yeah, he's a bad guy, but he's kind of fucking cool.
Right.
You know? So in this match, the whole point of the match is that someone is supposed to submit to, you know, like tap out basically, because you can pin and, you know, it's like MMA. You can tap out to, like, you know, there's certain wrestlers, like Bret Hart had this move called the sharpshooter that just about if he put it on you, you were going to tap out.
Because
he
would like break your leg or something.
Yeah.
So people would that's cool. They instituted that. Where it's like, why are we just doing pins? When?
Oh, yeah. And that's been around forever.
Yeah.
But so Bret Hart puts the fucking sharpshooter on Stone Cold, and the whole image is that, you know, Bret Hart's supposed to be the good guy. Stone Cold's supposed to be the bad guy. Now, they had this like vicious fight. You beat the shit out of each other. Stone Cold's bleeding from his forehead. And it's fucking like this cool visual. And the way that the match ends is that Stone Cold never taps out. He just passes out from the pain, but he doesn't tap out. So he's not a pussy. Now he's the fucking cool badass.
They say you lost because you
passed out. Well, he lost still, yeah. But Bret Hart's the fucking asshole. You know, so in one match, Bret Hart went from the good guy to the bad guy, and fucking Steve Austin went from
beating up this honorable warrior who wouldn't tap.
Yeah,
GSP. I don't know if you know UFC stuff at all.
Yeah, I know some of it. Yeah,
and this is more real, but like George St. Pierre was a dominant champion for a long time, and then he fought this guy Dan Hardy, this British guy,
he's
a punk, and he put these holds. And GSP's biggest complaint people had against him was that he wouldn't finish fights. He would go five rounds, five rounds, and not finish it. We're like, and he was like, "I'm going for it. I realize that I'm going to go for it." And he put these holds on Dan Hardy, where his arm was so far back, you could hear the whole crowd going, "Oh, oh!"
Yeah.
And man, Dan Hardy wouldn't tap, and he went all five rounds, and he got so much more respect out of that.
He got put over. Yeah,
he got put.
Well, he put himself over.
Yeah.
Because a wrestler can put another wrestler over. Like, if I'm a veteran and you're a new guy, I can make your offense look the fucking best. It's called selling. When I sell
your punches.
If you're a veteran,
I take you all the way to the fucking, you know, brink.
Yeah.
That'll help me a shitload.
Oh, yeah. That was a big thing.
Like Rocky, even though he lost.
Oh, yeah.
It was still like, he gave that guy a fight. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. In the 70s and 80s especially, there was the term was called a Broadway. And what a Broadway was, so you would have the NWA was this major championship that would go from all these like before there was WWF as it is now, there were all these different territories.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon's WWF was originally WWF, and his father owned it. And his father was a part of this group with all these other guys, and they all had their own territories, and there would be an NWA champion, and what that guy would do is he would go to the different territories with your local guy and go 60 minutes to a draw, like Rocky. So you put your guy over, he's not losing, and that was his job.
Oh. So then everyone would be like, ooh, who's this guy? What's the organization he fights for?
Oh, yeah.
That's what they have in, I just heard, that's what they have in Europe, where they have Champions League soccer, where they get the champions from all the league. And they're like, yeah, now you guys play all full matches.
Well, look at, like, I mean, you know, people always say it's like one of the best, you know, MMA fights is the Ultimate Fighter one, you know, Bonner versus Griffin.
Yeah.
You know, one guy won and one guy lost, but they both became stars night.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who won? Like, who cares, man?
Yeah.
Who cares? Nobody finished the fight, so who cares?
Yeah, and they both went on to have careers because
good reference, bro.
Yeah, no, I know my shit.
If you watch old Bond, they split it up into three YouTube clips, 5 minutes each.
Yeah.
But if you watch it, it's so empty there to the Pearl, and you see like maybe a couple hundred people and fucking Kevin James just hanging out in the front.
Like he had like studying for Here Comes the Boom. He's just writing his notebook.
He just liked it early on, and he was one of the few, and it was before it was super cool.
Yeah, I mean, I look at, you know, fucking, you know, people shit on Chael Sonnen, but it's like, you know, that guy cuts
best mouth,
promo.
Best mouth in fucking, he would do this stuff. We were watching there with Dana and all these people, because I'll get some cool access sometimes being with Rogan, and Dana's like, come look at these promo videos Chael just made. And it was like, oh my God. He had this thing where he's fighting Anderson Silva, best fighter of all time, very possibly, top three.
Yeah, he's up there.
And he goes... First of all, he starts talking about how he's never lost a fight, even though he just lost. He goes, I never lost a round. I never lost a minute of any round in my life. And people are like, what about when you got knocked out by that guy? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And he goes, when I walk into the octagon, there's thunder. When Anderson Silva walks in, you can hear a mouse pissing on cotton.
It's great.
It's great.
And the thing is... Like, that happens in wrestling all the time. I've never lost. I've never, you know, that guy screwed me over. You know, there was the crooked referee. It's always right. That shit. And it's like, that's what makes it better. Like, that to me, you know, because now now we've got, you know, CM Punk joining UFC and everyone's like losing a fucking tizzy about it, which is stupid.
He'll fight at the undercards. That's not going to be a thing.
Yeah. And he'll fucking, he'll make a lot of people money. So they should shut the fuck up and be happy that he's there.
He's a novelty. He's not going to be a main event.
And everyone,
he's a fun novelty.
Yeah, exactly. And it's fine. He's, you know.
When Rogan was going to fight Wesley Snipes, I was really thinking, like, you guys should have every once in a while some celebrities fighting.
Dude, it's a 37-year-old Make-A-Wish kid.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. CM Punk. You know, he's like, some 5-year-olds want to dress up as Batman, and that's fine. And this guy, he's got the fucking money and the draw. People are going to come and want to see it. And
well, let's talk about CM Punk for a second. Yeah. I want to talk about him. So, from what I understand, is. He left.
Yeah.
He said, this shit has become all about fucking name and not about what actually matters, which is wrestling moves.
That's some of it, but there's it's
bullshit,
deeper than
I'm
that.
I'm out of here. Explain the whole thing to me then.
Okay.
And explain to me afterwards if he's right to think that way, but go ahead.
All right. Well, I'll summarize just his career in brief, okay?
Okay.
So... And let's use this as like comedy terms, okay? So, because there are the Chappelle parallels for sure.
Well, the way Jay was explaining it to me, he was like, when he was saying CM Punk is wrong, he goes, it's like saying, oh, they always book these young comics. And he's like, yeah, okay, but they don't. They don't book the best comics in the world. So you can't be bitching about the fact that they're booking some 20-year-old hot girl comic. It's like, what do you want them to do? Not?
Yeah. No, but there's multiple issues there. But let's look at his beginning. Okay. So he's a guy, he starts in, you know, 2000, 2001, just his career, maybe or end of 90s. And he open mics his way up. You know, he's in this, he's in all these different small indie promotions. You know, because once WWE takes over, and WCW is dead, there's no real major competition. There's fucking them, and
that's it. That's the end all.
On that there's TNA, but they're terrible.
Okay. We're gonna get to the organizations in a little while too.
Okay,
so go ahead.
But so this is the modern time. So in 2006, he makes his debut on WWE television in their version of ECW. They basically
What does that mean?
So they buy the ECW name, and they said ECW was this edgy badass.
They're the ones that had like home invasions as their storyline. Stuff were like Jesus.
Well, that was Stone Cold Home Invasion.
Really?
Yeah, that was in WWF, but they would do shit like that a lot. And a lot of people, you know, will say that like WWF stole a lot of their great ideas from ECW.
Sure.
And so they and Paul Heyman who's the best fucking talker of all time in wrestling.
Wrestler?
No, he's a manager and a promoter. So ECW was his baby. ECW dies. He works for WWE. He sees something in CM Punk that nobody else did. He gives CM Punk chances on ECW in 2006, which is owned by WWE at this time. It's basically a brand, but there's no autonomy at all.
Okay.
So
he gives him a chance.
Yeah. And he is instantly like recognized by, you know, the hardest of the hardcore fans who chant his name louder than anybody else.
Why? How do they recognize
him? Because they remember they've seen him on the indies.
Around.
Yeah. They've watched tapes and all of that. Like wrestling in the 90s and 2000s, and even now, there's a huge tape trading community. So let's say you go, you know, you watch PWG in Los Angeles and I watch Ring of Honor in New York. We switch tapes. We chat about who the best guys are, all that shit. Who's getting over, who impresses us. And CM Punk does all that.
This is like that when they have comic movies or fighting movies, and they'll have some guy from some Japanese kung fu movie,
who he is.
And you hear the murmurs like, oh, so that's Takeshi Mochurchio.
Oh yeah, well,
and
it's like, look,
what?
At,
I don't, am I supposed to know that?
Well, that movie Brick Mansions, you know, had like Paul Walker and David Bell. You're like, who the fuck's David Bell? And he's like the best parkour guy in France.
Oh right,
yeah,
and you're supposed to know. Or those for Tarantino used like really good stuntmen.
Oh
stunt
yeah,
women. Or the fucking guy who carved the Hattori Hanzo sword.
Yeah.
He was like some badass actor like a while ago.
And he was like, I'll accept it. Yeah. No, of course. And everyone in there is one of those guys. Yeah. But so CM Punk, so it's 2006 and people start to like him. But
be careful not to, if you are, to rub the
beard. The beard, yeah.
I don't know how that's going to sound, but go ahead.
Oh, CM Punk, I love you so much. Oh, yeah. How about a CM Spunk all over your face? No. So then what ends up happening is, WWE like recognizes this, but he's always like on the periphery. Like he even wins the championship, but he's never like the real star.
Promoted.
Yeah. And he's getting frustrated and he's getting burned out. And the thing too is that like being a wrestler looks like it fucking sucks in many ways, because it's like being on the road, but you're getting thrown on your back every night, you know, and they have to pay for their own health insurance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even on that level, WWF level?
But WWE does. There's no union. They
won't allow unions.
Yeah. So they treat their workers like independent contractors.
And how much does like a low-level guy get paid?
I think the lowest-level guy maybe gets like $70,000.
A year?
Yeah.
They used to pay UFC guys when they came in 8-8.
Yeah.
Which is like, it means 8 to fight and 8 if you win. Another 8 if you win. It's like $16,000. You can do this at most. You can make $16,000. You can do that at most 3 times a year.
Oh, and they obviously have to have other jobs and shit. But even like $70,000, but do they have to like fucking provide their own like, you know, transportation?
Way out there, travel, yeah. Hotel.
And then
yeah,
the health care. That itself, I mean, because you're, when are you not hurt? They're all.
And they won't even allow themselves a union so they can give each other health care.
Yeah. Well, they squashed it. Fucking Piper and Roddy Piper and Jesse Ventura tried starting one in the 80s, and Hulk Hogan fucking ratted them out.
Hulk Hogan did.
Yeah.
Piper always calls Hulk Hogan Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, that ain't real. He talks about the real wrestlers, and when they're like, what about Hogan? He's like, come on, man. We're talking here.
Yeah.
Like, he just like, uh-uh.
But look at that. But see, like, as a fan of narrative and as a fan of story, how fascinating that is, that the two bad guys on TV
are like
actually the good
guys.
That's the parts of wrestling I really fucking love. Like, those, the real life parallels and, you know, how it's different, how it's the same.
Wow.
So CM Punk comes to 2011, right? And he's always just on the cusp, but he's not there. And he does this promo that truly gets him over. It's the pipe bomb promo where he complains about the company. He shits on Vince McMahon. He shits on Triple H. He shits on John Cena. And it's this thing that you've never seen before, like, to this level. It takes a lot of, like, the real world animosity of, like, those 1990s ECW promos. And it just...
I hope he's just leaving, but I'm afraid we're going to hear more from Punk.
You've never seen anything like this on this level, to the point where it got mainstream attention. He got interviewed in GQ.
Really?
Yeah, people are like, who the fuck is this guy?
Hold on, I want to listen to this.
Okay.
Can we load this up right now and play it?
Yeah, we could try.
Okay.
John Cena, while you lay there, hopefully as uncomfortable as you possibly can be, I want you to listen to me. I want you to digest this, because before I leave in 3 weeks with your WWE Championship, I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest. I don't hate you, John. I don't even dislike you. I do like you. I like you a hell of a lot more than I like most people in the back. I hate this idea that you're the best. Because you're not. I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. There's one thing you're better at than I am, and that's kissing Vince McMahon's ass. You're as good as kissing Vince's ass as Hulk Hogan was. I don't know if you're as good as Dwayne, though. He's a pretty good ass kisser. Always was and still is. Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall. I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company. And I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. That's right, I'm a Paul Heyman guy. You know who else was a Paul Heyman guy? Brock Lesnar. And he split just like I'm splitting, but the biggest difference between me and Brock is I'm going to leave with the WWE Championship. I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that they're just that. They're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out for almost 6 years I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even at commentary. Nobody can touch me. And yet, no matter how many times I prove it, I'm not on your lovely little collector cups. I'm not on the cover of the program. I'm barely promoted. I don't get to be in movies. I'm certainly not on any crappy show on the USA Network. I'm not on the poster of WrestleMania. I'm not in the signature that's produced at the start of the show. I'm not on Conan O'Brien, I'm not on Jimmy Fallon, but the fact of the matter is I should be, and trust me, this isn't sour grapes, but the fact that Dwayne is in the main event of WrestleMania next year and I'm not makes me sick. Oh, and hey, let me get something straight. Those of you who are cheering me right now, you are just the biggest part of me leaving as anything else. Because you're the ones that are sipping out of those collector cups right now. You're the ones that buy those programs that my face isn't on the cover of. And then at 5 a.m. at the airport, you try to shove it in my face so you can get an autograph and try to sell it on eBay because you're too lazy to go get a real job. I'm leaving with the WWE Championship on July 17th, and hell, who knows, maybe I'll go defend it in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Maybe I'll go back to Ring of Honor. Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing? The reason I'm leaving is you people, because after I'm gone, you're still going to pour money into this company. I'm just a spoke on the wheel. The wheel's going to keep turning, and I understand that. But Vince McMahon's going to make money despite himself. He's a millionaire who should be a billionaire. You know why he's not a billionaire? It's because he surrounds himself with glad-handing, nonsensical yes-men like John Laurinaitis, who's going to tell him everything that he wants to hear. And I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family. Let me tell you a personal story about Vince McMahon, all right? Can we do this whole bully campaign?
Wow, so they took the mic off on him. They just turned the mic on him. You don't need those headphones. You need this.
Oh, yeah, podcast. Sorry. My bad.
I put the headphones on that we're sitting in front of.
Yeah.
Wow, so he just really talked about the organization.
Yeah.
And said, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah, talking about those smaller fucking...
Oh, yeah, but it's like, but you could see how that could connect to anybody.
What do you mean, how that could connect to anybody?
You know, anyone who's had a shitty job, anyone who's hated their boss, any, you know. And yeah, you look,
like, they ain't giving me my time of day. I'm the best. I do a good job every day, and they don't fucking let me perform. They don't fucking put me as employee of the month.
But it's also, that's a great thing about
ass
wrestling.
Kissers.
But wrestling changes, you know. When people think of wrestling, they still, like I said, they think of their childhoods. They think of, let me tell you something, brother.
Yeah.
You know, he's not that at all.
No.
He's a smaller guy. Every wrestler is still fucking huger than anyone you've ever met.
Like, he always wore a t-shirt, that guy?
No, he wrestles with his shirt off, but just when he was talking. And then it's like even the sitting down Indian style,
yeah,
that just hadn't
Indian
been done.
Style. Yeah, exactly. Just sitting on the floor, like, let's talk for a little bit. Not in the ring.
But it immediately makes you pay attention.
Yeah.
And so that got mainstream.
And they turned the mic off on him. Somebody upstairs, like, and you could tell he was like not happy with it when the mic went off. He's like, oh, really?
But it was all planned.
That was all planned, too.
Yeah.
Even
so
the
you
mic
fell for
off.
It a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what's great about wrestling.
Like, and I got... And he's like, oh, really?
And that's the thing. People are like, I can't believe what he said about Vince McMahon. It was all approved.
The thing, too, is, I don't know what story he's going to tell, but I guess nothing. The thing, too, that's interesting is, like, he's like, I'm the best wrestler. And he pointed out that means the best talker and the best fighter. And it's like, you might be a better joke writer than I am, but you're a fucking Hollywood writer. You don't know how to do shit on stage.
And all of the stuff he was saying had a level of truth in it because he wasn't on the talk shows. Like, and in that year specifically,
right.
2011, a guy named The Miz, who's from the real world, was in the main event of WrestleMania against John Cena, and he wasn't. And that was real frustration. That
was like,
genuine.
Fuck this. And he's like, The Rock is going to come back and be in the main event, and I'm the actual champion, and I don't get to be in the main event?
Yeah.
That's like having a UFC title fight before some other fight.
Yeah. That's like being a guy with no fights and getting into UFC at the age of 37.
Yeah. They're not going to give him the main event.
Nah, I know. He's going to be in the main event.
Who?
Punk. You think they're going to have him in the third match on the card?
I think they have him in the undercard. I think they let him fight a couple nobodies. And not like, oh, look how he won. It's like they're going to like, look, you get to fight in the UFC. That's your honor. I think it's going to be undercard, not even main. I think it'll be in the free Facebook. No, those are the first two fights. Not a free Facebook. FX. The free FX.
He'll be.
You think so?
Yeah, because they could sell more tickets that way.
They can sell more tickets.
And you know what, though? All it does is it tells everyone else who is fighting there, step your fucking game up, because this is going to get new eyes that no one's ever seen. Don't have boring fights.
That's why I just heard that Cain Velasquez wouldn't pull out of that fight against Junior Dos Santos because he was like super injured. He's like, he couldn't plant off his front foot. Like Rogan even said later, he goes, that looks weird, man. You're doing something weird. He goes, oh, it's totally shattered, but it's the first fight on Fox.
Yeah.
What am I going to not fight?
Yeah.
They're showing on a Fox. Of course I'm going to fight.
Yeah.
And he said when he lost, he wasn't even that upset. He goes, that wasn't my real game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, whatever, but I can't pull
out of
this.
Oh, this was years ago. Yeah. It's my fucking job. Yeah.
It's massive stage, bro.
Yeah. And I mean, so you look at, like, there's something organic about that Punk promo.
Yeah.
And the storyline leading up to it.
Sounds like a real person.
Yeah, exactly. And the storyline leading up to it was that he – at that, this was 2011. He was going to wrestle John Cena in 3 weeks for the championship and leave with the title, which now he does this in his hometown of Chicago. It's one of the – it is, I will say, the best moment I've ever had as a wrestling fan. I watched it with Dan St. Germain and Scott Chaplin and Adina, my wife, was there, and we all hugged and everything. Like, she was even, like, amazed by, like, how much we freaked out about it because it was our guy.
When you saw this thing, when you saw that promo?
No, that promo.
No, what you say? What was your moment when you all?
It was Money in the Bank, July 17th, maybe July 11th. I think it was the 17th, but it was 3 weeks after that promo that you just saw.
Well, when he said this is the date, he was saying I'm going to leave in 3 weeks.
Yeah, and he does.
He leaves.
Yeah, and he blows Vince McMahon a kiss as he's holding the title, and
takes it with him and goes back to the dressing room where they're all hanging out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But now this is this thing where everyone's like, oh my god, this is so great and this is fucking awesome. He could, you know, and then with the part of wrestling too, we always as wrestling fans talk about what they should do, like in a TV show, because it is a TV show. So we're like, what they should do is Punk should be off TV for like 3 months, or Punk should show up in Ring of Honor with the belt. Punk should do this and Punk should do that. They bring Punk back a week afterwards.
A week after?
Yeah, like 8 days. And we're all like, what the fuck?
Oh, no buildup.
Yeah.
And then what did he do in 8 days?
It just wasn't the same.
What did he do?
He
fought again?
He was at, well, within that 8 days, he had showed up at Comic-Con with the title. And everyone was like, oh my god. But yeah, after the 8 days, he fights John Cena at SummerSlam.
Again? He just fought him 3 weeks earlier.
Exactly. And that's where the problems come. And even he said, he's like, why the fuck am I coming back so early, you know, in real life? And then after that, he wrestles Triple H, who is the doofus son-in-law.
He's the doofus son-in-law.
Yeah. He was a wrestler. He married Stephanie McMahon.
Oh.
And now in real life.
So that's why he gets promoted so much. He's dating the fucking daughter.
Yeah. Now in real life, he's head of talent relations and all of that. He's a guy who books people.
And he doesn't really have training in that. He has training in wrestling.
Yeah.
So that's why people are upset. The wrestlers, I mean.
There's some that are happy and there's some that are good.
Friends with them. It's like when Tommy got fired at the Comedy Store.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
A bunch of people like dancing in the streets like it was Palestine after fucking 9/11.
So Punk, you know, he's there. He's working hurt. He's injured. You know, cut to, you know, early 2014, and he leaves for actual good. And he hasn't come back since. And that's real.
Wow. I mean, we've gone almost a whole year now.
Yeah. He walked out.
And over what this time?
Multiple things.
Just retirement?
There are two Colt Cabana podcasts. Colt Cabana is his best friend in real life. They train together. Colt Cabana has a podcast called Art of Wrestling, which is kind of like the Marin. It's WTF for wrestling or Skeptic Tank for wrestling.
So we said hi to Colt Cabana.
Yeah, hi Colt Cabana. Yeah, which added this realness to it. Even that idea. That's the thing. It's like I could even see when I was watching you watch it how you changed when he said, I'm breaking the fourth wall, when he used terms that you didn't think a pro wrestler would ever use.
Because that breaks the fourth wall just to even use those terms.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And he goes, guys, we're fucking putting on a show here. I'm the best at putting on a show.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of saying, you saw my girlfriend in the shower, so I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah. Now, clearly, it was all within the fourth wall.
Yeah.
But there are these, like, you know, real things that he was saying where he's like, I'm not on the collector's cups. He wasn't. I'm not on the, you know, programs. He wasn't, you know.
And when he was shitting on the fans, when he was like, oh, and you're all the ones cheering for me. Yeah. Fuck you.
And the best wrestling takes a truth and, you know, twist it to manipulate you. So, you know, in the fucking, you know, 40s, there were Nazi wrestlers. There were fucking guys who, you know, like dudes from Kansas who just looked big and German who pretended to be Nazis.
Right.
And then they were Russians. And then it was, you know, and then it was
Nikolai
like
Volkov.
Oh, yeah. Iron Sheik.
Iron Sheik. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Tons of Japanese guys. Yeah. Mr. Fuji. Yeah.
So now, if you don't get stuff like this every week, though, Is it generally a pinnacle. If it is just TV, like you say, if it is just TV, isn't this just kind of garbage TV? Like kind of shitty writing and kind of, or not? Tell me.
A lot of it is because that's becomes the problem in defending wrestling or trying to get new people into it. Because even at its best,
they don't have Harvard writers writing this.
They do now, and that's the problem. It used to be just pro wrestlers wrote it, and that was actually better. What it used to be was, like, in terms of promos and getting yourself over, they would let the wrestlers go out and do it themselves. Now they hand them these fully written scripts, and you could tell they're out there trying to memorize them.
Oh, that's a problem. You say, like, can't you just say these words? Like, no, they can't.
Yeah.
So now it's worse than them saying their own words that aren't as good.
Yeah.
They're saying your words terribly.
Yeah.
Like, no one seems to understand that. When they want to tell comics, like, just do this bit, and we'll change that word to that.
Exactly.
Like, now they're memorizing your shit instead of speaking from the heart.
Especially, it's like, I've been doing this for 10 years or 15 years. And you got to look, like, a lot of the wrestlers, they were on the indies. They were, you know, wrestling in fucking schools and backyards.
Yeah. Wouldn't we better just say this? Yeah, probably would be. But I can't just say that. So then where are we?
Yeah. So,
by the way, are you writing a packet for NERT for at midnight?
Yeah,
you are.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Okay.
Okay. but that's the real appeal. Like what you just saw there. That here's this guy CM Punk, and CM Punk, like
after an entertaining fight. I'm assuming that was an entertaining fight against John Cena that he just fought.
He wasn't in that fight. It was between John Cena and this guy R-Truth, and he came out and distracted John Cena, who then got beat up
by R-Truth.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know there's the confusing, but if you watch it every week, it makes more sense. But that is the biggest problem with wrestling and getting into wrestling is, like I said, there can be, like, now it's a 3-hour show on Mondays, which is too much.
Too long.
Even most wrestlers are like, this is too fucking much wrestling, and I love wrestling. And they just have to fill the time, and it drags, and there will be these amazing moments, and then there will be these moments where you're like, oh, God. Like, for instance,
like, why are we wasting time to get there?
So we go to Brooklyn to the Barclays Center, and we see Monday Night Raw a few months ago. And there are a few, like, really fun moments, really fun matches, crazy awesome shit. And then there's a lot of terrible garbage that I cannot defend. There's a moment where a little person in a alligator costume is wrestling a little person in a bull costume in front of 20,000 people at the Barclays Center.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, or people like Eugene.
Oh, Eugene was the guy who was, like, his whole character was that he was handicapped.
He was special.
And yeah.
They kept saying, like, you know, he's not as big as Triple H, but he's stronger than he looks.
Oh, yeah. That was uncomfortable.
God. He was fighting Triple H because Triple H was his hero. It's one of the every, like, 6 years I'll watch a fight. And it was like, wait, he thinks it's a fake fight, but then he's fighting for real because that's what you do in a fake fight. And he's beating up Triple H.
No, but see, but as a wrestling, like, as a wrestling fan watching the character Eugene, there is a talent in it because so Nick Dinsmore is the guy who plays Eugene, and he clearly was a great and talented wrestler because when he's out there, he looks like a retarded person,
like schlubby kind of retarded. Yeah,
the hair, but like even his mannerisms.
He would clap.
He's no Daniel Day-Lewis out there, but he's doing a good job.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like that takes work. That takes talent. That's on that ability. Skill,
they're not just like you're unbelievable in moments.
And they couldn't have just given that to anybody.
Yeah, when you see someone like V for Victory, and you get the Princess Amidala or whatever her name is,
Natalie Portman,
and in and out of an English accent.
Oh, yeah. V for Vendetta.
V for Vendetta, yeah. Yeah, excuse me.
My other love.
In and out of this British accent, you're like, you're kind of taking me out of it. But like, if you're a wrestler and you're a British guy, you better have that accent down the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
Or come on, man. We're trying to get into this here.
Oh, that was the thing. It's like, that's part of the beauty of wrestling is that when you watch it, you say to yourself, everything's fake, but that's real. And that's when, you know, and that's like a part of like the draw. It's like Yokozuna was this, you know, 500-pound like sumo wrestler, you know, in the 90s. And yeah. when I found out that, like, in real life, he was, like, a Samoan named Rodney who grew up in, like, Compton, I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. And I watched on YouTube, like, an interview, and, like, it was tough growing up in the streets, and he sounds, like, black and everything. Right. You're like, what the? He's yeah. Japanese! Yeah. You know, like, I know it's fake, and I know that's not real, and that's not real, and The Undertaker isn't an actual Undertaker, but he's Japanese.
Yeah. The most interesting man in the world. You ever see him on TMZ?
Oh, he's Jewish.
He's Jewish. Just old slubby, like, wow, man, and nice seeing you guys. What? Like, he's a good actor.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And a lot of it is, you know.
So when people say, oh, it's all fake, I get this thing now where I grew up in North Carolina until fourth grade.
Yeah.
We had no professional sports teams.
Yeah.
So my professional sports teams that I like are generally the America's teams or a team that I got into later. Like, I didn't get to hockey until I moved to D.C., so like Caps. But people go like, oh, you're not even from – wherever.
Yeah.
Or the thing they say the most that I hate when you go like, oh, we won, you know.
Yeah.
People like, you didn't do anything. And I want to be like, dude, that was hacky 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You think that you're breaking the news that I'm not really on the team? I know that. But somebody wrote to me about the Cowboys. It goes, they're like, you're not even from Dallas. I'm like, neither are the Cowboys.
Yeah.
They play outside of Dallas.
Yeah. If you're a fan of baseball, you really just like the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, when people say, oh, it's all fake, is that like, you're like, shut up, man.
Well, I mean, it's – and wrestlers themselves will say this. It's choreographed. Okay, it's clearly choreographed.
Yeah, the ballet is fake.
Yeah, there's choreography.
Really having a nutcracker.
But, you know, watch Mick Foley get out of a car and tell me he's not really hurt.
Well, that's what I said when he did my storyteller show you did Cleopatra before, right? Up there in Montreal?
Yeah.
The strip club?
Yeah.
So there's like two steps off the stage. And watching him take 8 minutes to get down those steps. And I was like, anyone who thinks wrestling is fake, watch him still down one step right now.
Well, one of the biggest moments is, you know, Hell in the Cell 98 where he gets thrown off the cage.
Yeah.
And then not only he gets thrown off a cage and then he comes back up, then he gets – now that was planned. He was supposed to – and his thing was like, I could take it. I'm a tough guy.
Yeah.
Now what wasn't planned was – he falls through the cage. The cage gives way, and he fucking falls through the cage onto the mat. Oh. And you could see his teeth, like, in his fucking nose. Like, it's brutal.
What do you mean, in his nose?
Like, a fucking tooth.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. Ugh. His actual ear in a match with Vader in WCW fell off.
No.
It got caught between the fucking ropes like a guillotine and just popped.
Ew.
Yeah. I mean, that guy, it's like... he still isn't as hurt as he could have been if he really took all those moves, but he still got fucking hurt.
I heard that's why people hated Bautista, because he came in, they're like, we're going to make this guy a star.
And he hurt everybody.
Actor. And he goes, and his moves are the spear, which is not wrestling. It's just like, you just tackle me super hard.
Or Goldberg, yeah.
Or like, you do this thing where you take me up in a, I don't know, body slam or super, and then
power
just,
bomb,
and then just power, and then it's like, but now this is what Jay was saying, but now your hand is smushing my face into the mat, like, I'll lose, but you got to make me lose in the most annoying way possible, the most uncomfortable way possible. Get out of here, man.
So that's a thing that CM Punk talked about in that Colt Cabana interview, that he was in matches with a guy named Ryback, who was the newer guy. He's the new comic. You know, they're like, and their thing was like, we want you to make this guy look like a star.
Yeah.
You know, you're still going to win, but he's new. Go to the distance with him. And he's like, okay. But the guy is so fucking, you know, they call it, you know, and it's a comedy term. He's green. You know,
he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know how to make the distance.
So CM Punk, who's been wrestling for, you know, 13, 14 years, is having to wrestle with this brand new guy who's fucking hurting him every night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, there's a spot, and he talks about this.
Do they put the same matches on in different cities?
A lot of times.
So they'll just redo that match?
Oh, yeah.
3 days later for Oklahoma and then for Kansas
City.
They
usually, you know, the way the wrestling, they wrestle about four times a week.
Wow, and they only televise once.
They televise a couple. They have a few shows now. They have Raw, SmackDown, Main Event, and I think that's it. Maybe this show called Superstars.
And WrestleMania is the championship.
That's the biggest event. But they have pay-per-views once every 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay.
And those are – well, you know, now they have like the WWE Network, so you pay like, you know, $10 a month
access.
And you watch that.
Okay.
I'll say this, like, when I heard Punk's story, you know, as a comic, like as a performer, I related to it, and I was like, I can't give this place money for a while, and I unsubscribed.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he talks about like having this lump on his back and saying to the fucking, you know, they have like an on-site medic, and the medic was like, oh, it'll be fine, and it was a staph infection.
Oh, no way. The medic couldn't tell what a staph infection was?
Well, he was like, you know, just go out there. You'll be okay.
First of all, that's super catchy to the other wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
The other wrestler got it, for sure.
I mean, who knows?
When I had staph Ringworm's worse, actually. Ringworm's the worst one. Ringworm's too catchy.
Well, that's the thing. Like, wrestling now, there's no blood, really, because of hepatitis. And, you know, and it makes sense. The WWE itself is it's TV PG. It used to be TV 14.
PG is less?
Yeah, way less. Well, it's like, you know, if you know the story of Chris Benoit, the guy who murdered his family.
Uh-huh.
They did an autopsy. He had the brain of an 80-year-old man with Alzheimer's because he would fucking take chair shots straight to – he was like a tough motherfucker, like this short little like, come on. Yeah. He would take these fucking chair shots. And then one of his finishing moves was the diving headbutt where he would jump off the fucking top and hit his head on you. But most of the time, the guy would roll out of the way. So he's just fucking hitting his head against the mat.
Oh.
And it, you know –
wears on you.
Oh, yeah.
God.
There's a guy named Chris Nowinski who's leading all of this research in concussion studies.
Health stuff, too, probably.
Yeah, because now he was...
talking about suicide now.
He was on the WWE reality show Tough Enough, and his whole character was Chris Harvard because he actually did go to Harvard, and he got a concussion and had to stop wrestling. And he was like, what the fuck?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them work hurt.
So
CM Punk's last match before he left, he had it was a Royal Rumble. And
will you watch every Monday?
Not every Monday.
Only if it's a match you're interested in.
It depends. Sometimes I'll watch it a lot. I go through cycles.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not as into it as I used to be.
Will you go online and see who won the stuff?
Yeah, I read about the politics and backstage stuff all the time.
Okay, because the results of the win or loss of the match are not as important as the politics.
They are, in a way, because if the company is pushing a certain guy, he's going to win a lot more.
And no,
if
John Cena was a big guy, he lost that fight to some guy I've never heard of until you told me that.
Oh, CM Punk?
Yeah. No, until he lost the fight to R.
Oh, R-Truth?
Yeah.
Well, that ended in like a disqualification or whatever. That was like a storyline. That didn't matter. Like, people are savvy to it. But if a guy keeps losing and losing in embarrassing ways, people think he's a choker and give up on him.
Like Johnny O or whatever.
Yeah.
What's that guy's name? Johnny, oh, he would just like be offered up like we need a filler.
Yeah.
He was 0-70.
Oh, Barrio?
Barrio.
Oh, the yeah. Barry Horowitz.
That was his real name?
Yeah, and then there was a match after years and years where he beat somebody and it was like the coolest fucking thing.
Oh, really?
Because that's wrestling.
Like the fucking kid who's last off the bench. Like, go in there. When he scores a point, everybody goes crazy even though your team is down 32. Yeah.
And they just, what? I mean, my dad used to, they're called.
They finally let him win. Barrio, that's great.
The term of those guys is jobbers. Because doing the job means you're losing. Go out there and do the job tonight.
Oh.
You know, it's like, I don't want to do the job. Do the job.
Do the job. You have
to. Yeah. So, fucking, my dad would bet on jobbers. He'd be like, hey, son, I'll give you $10 if Jeff Danielson beats, you know, Hulk Hogan, and I'd be like, yeah. And I'm just like, and he would do that because then I'd be so invested in the match. I'm like, come on, Jeff.
And then that those few moments where Hulk was losing, it was
exactly.
There's always a back and forth. There's no dominant straight from the start.
There are. Those are called squash matches.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's some where, like, especially when a new guy comes out and they want to build him up.
Yeah. Is this a redneck entertainment? Is it the fans? Are they garbage people?
No, it's a. I would
you're
say,
not, but are generally okay. Go ahead.
No. I would say
the way NASCAR gets a rep,
not exclusively. I think it's more. It's definitely not a race thing. It's more of a class thing because Latinos and blacks, not you know, there's obviously
are into it.
Oh, yeah, massively.
They're not really represented in the sport, though, are they?
They are. I mean, there's definitely race problems, but, you know, Rey Mysterio, you know, is fucking huge with the Latino population. Eddie Guerrero was huge with the Latino population. They're always more so than blacks. They're always trying to find.
It doesn't seem like a lot of blacks. It seems like there are some Mexicans, but you're right. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of blacks though.
Wrestlers?
Yeah.
There have been. There's really shaky, uncomfortable issues with race in wrestling because a lot of it did come out of redneck areas, but in all those redneck areas, there are black people too, and they went to the fucking
arena. Redneck. Let's call them rednecks instead of white trash. Rednecks can be black, right? Or no? Let's call it garbage people. Garbage people is my term for just the.
I just think it's more of like. I think it's more of a class thing. Okay. Yeah, I think it's more money based.
Okay.
You know, in a lot of ways. I mean, because like New Orleans was like a huge fucking territory in the 80s, and that was mostly all blacks that would go to the matches.
Okay. So you think it's just poor people, not like awful people?
Yeah, I think.
Although there is a correlation between poor people and awful people.
I think there's more of a correlation. There's less of a correlation between NASCAR and wrestling and more of a correlation between wrestling and the lottery. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right. That's another poor thing.
But it's also – but what do both of those do more than anything? Escape, you know.
Escape
and it shows
horrible.
That one person can triumph, that one little guy. I mean –
yeah, man, that's Hunger Games.
Yeah, the biggest storyline in wrestling history – and obviously CM Punk brought it back a little bit with his promo and that story was Stone Cold Steve Austin versus McMahon.
Versus the promoter.
Yeah.
But he's going to come out of retirement, the promoter.
Well, he was never a wrestler.
Oh, really?
Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
I was talking about Triple H before.
Okay, Vince McMahon was never a wrestler?
No.
And so now Stone Cold was going to fight a non-wrestler?
Yeah. And of course Vince McMahon uses all of these lackeys and company guys to go after him, and so he's got to fight them every week until he finally gets his hands on the big fucking bad guy. And that in itself is like
did he crush him?
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah, that's
and humiliated him, and you know there was like where he came out with like a beer truck and sprayed Vince McMahon and all of like the bad guys in beer. He came out with like a cement truck and, you know, and it was this thing of like people are like, fuck yeah, because it's like you all want to do that to your boss.
To your boss, yeah.
And he got to, and it's that wish fulfillment. And, you know, Stone Cold was like a hillbilly and there was that redneck aspect, but that was fucking anyone disenfranchised can watch that and be like, I connect to that.
You think Vince McMahon is the best of all time?
In what terms?
Promoters?
Yeah.
I heard that People's Court, when the Mouse from the South was on there.
Jimmy Hart?
Jimmy, did you ever see that one?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, and they asked him. He was like, I think a character witness for somebody or something. Yeah. Or he was involved. And they're like,
an in-character witness.
And they're like, what's your name? Jimmy Hart. He goes, what do you do? He goes, I'm the second best promoter of all time. The second best wrestling promoter of all time. That's what he said. Something like that.
Vince McMahon, I mean, just to briefly touch on it, his story is one of the most fascinating things to me and one of the reasons I love wrestling. And an actor will play him someday and win an Oscar because it's fucking incredible. His dad was the promoter of WWF. He was dying, and Vince McMahon Jr., who was kind of neglected in all of that by his father, was basically raised by his mom and his stepdad. Decided to connect with his dad, and his dad was like, you could be an announcer, you could be a commentator. And he was like, okay. Now the dad dies, and Vince McMahon Jr. buys the company off of him. And Vince McMahon Sr. says, whatever you do.
The dying Vince McMahon Sr.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever you do, don't betray, you know, my colleagues, the other territory guys. You know, we've had this system for years. It worked for us. Don't do that.
Everyone's got their own territory. Yeah. Leave it.
What he does, daddy fucking dies. Angry son. It's like, oh, yeah. Most great stories are about dad issues. But he's like, oh, yeah. And he fucking does it immediately. And what he does.
Those are their territories.
And what he does is he poaches all of the top talent in everyone's territories.
Which
offers them more money. Huh?
Get some bigger contracts. So come fight for me. I'll give you
exactly.
I'll double their pay.
Yeah, and national. You know, because before when Vince McMahon Sr. had WWF, it was like in the New York and Pittsburgh area. There was a guy Bruno Sammartino who was this Italian guy, and he was champion for like 9 years. And then fucking Vince McMahon Jr. he gets Hulk Hogan from AWA, which was a Minnesota promotion, and he's like, I'm going to push you to the fucking moon and make you a star. Rocky III had just come out.
And Hulk was in that.
Oh, yeah. And so you had that credibility. You had him, like I said, every single person in his company, from the guy in the first match to the guy in the last match, was a headliner stars. Somewhere else. Yeah.
I tell you what, when you do get those UFCs where everybody's a name,
yeah,
five, you're like, damn.
Supercard. Bro. Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to see that.
And in its prime.
Or a music festival when you have like the third from last band is like someone you would pay to see alone.
Oh, yeah. When the opening act is a fucking headliner. How awesome is that?
First year of the Sunset Strip Music Festival. Donna's opened.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, really?
All yeah, right. yeah, yeah. And then you look at like, so then you look at fucking what he does in the 80s when it was at its like most. I mean, like I said, 90s made a little more money, but a lot of people look at the 80s as the prime. There were three different tours going on at the same time because everyone could carry their own.
What do you mean three different tours? Three different UFC tours? I mean, WWF tours?
Yeah.
So they would just go separate, like Gallagher and Gallagher 2?
Yeah. You know, in different cities and shit. There was like an A show that had Hulk on it, a B show that would have like Macho Man, and then like a C show that would have like a tag team matches like the headlining.
Right. How do these other companies react to this aggression?
Some of them tried to combine and failed. I mean, WCW, eventually they got Ted Turner to back them, so they were able to compete, and they were winning for a good while.
What do you mean winning? Ratings-wise?
Yeah.
WCW was.
Yeah, in the mid-90s.
When I was a kid, I guess, watching this from like, I guess I was six in like 1980. So it's like 6 to 16, let's say in that range, the 80s. It was WWF.
Yeah.
And then they had these other ones here or there. And you're like, what are they putting this other thing on? What is this?
Yeah.
Whatever it was, TNT, WCW, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have Hulk Hogan. They don't have the big guys.
Yeah.
Who are these guys?
I mean, that's such a regional thing, too. It depends. But that was in D.C.?
It was in Maryland, yeah.
But if you were in North Carolina, it would have been WCW. People call North Carolina.
Over WWF.
Yeah. People call North Carolina to this day like Flair country. Like Ric Flair is the fucking man. Like he has a lottery game there.
That's him.
Exactly. He was the fucking
and
god there.
He's a promoter
there. Too. No, not really.
Who's Ric Flair? He's not.
He's a wrestler.
Who's the promoter of WCW?
At the time, in the 80s, it was Jim Crockett. And then it became, I mean, it was essentially Ted Turner, but he gave money to this younger guy, Eric Bischoff, who really spearheaded
his name. I've heard his name. Okay, tell me this for a second.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
What's his place in wrestling? What do other wrestlers think about him? What do the fans think about him? And I mean, I'm sure maybe Stone Cold and certain people got bigger than him, but to me, no one ever touched that level.
No. I mean, it depends, you know, because if I ask someone who was, you know, 6 to 16 in the 90s. Clearly they did. You know what I mean? Right. It is a generational thing. But Hulk Hogan, his legacy, I think, you know, he's known as a real piece of shit in real life. And that'll be some of it, but that's only to people who read way too much. I think a lot of wrestlers look at him as a politicking asshole.
What does that mean?
Like the wrestlers that worked with him, that he always wanted to make sure he was on top. He rarely ever did jobs for other people.
Never lost.
He didn't put over people a lot. He did sometimes, but not a lot. Not much. When he was in WCW, when he was a bad guy in the NWO, he had full creative control
over
his character.
This is after WWF.
Yeah.
And he became a bad guy in another thing.
Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
And it was clearly like, wait, he's a bad guy now? It's like, and who is this organization? He's past his prime. So they're just getting a name, pretty much.
Yeah. But that was the thing, was that WCW, brought him over in 1994. And he'd passed his prime probably around like 92.
Yeah.
But in 94, he's fucking...
This is after he had the show about the speedboat.
Yeah, Thunder in Paradise. It was in the same time because they were both on TNT.
Oh, they probably had a 360 package with him.
Well, here's a fascinating thing about Hogan, too, was that...
What was the name of that show?
Thunder in Paradise.
I'm gonna go out to that music.
Nice. In the early 90s, there was the steroid trials in WWF. And so things changed. Like Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, who were littler guys, became more focal points of the company because a lot of the big muscular behemoths were so roided out that they couldn't really use them as much. And so
they don't look normal. They don't look like real people.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be fighting, but Triple H is like, your pecs are the size of fucking
gross,
my head. And I, have a
I mean,
big
the Rock,
head.
The Rock's legs are disgusting. But no, so what happens in the early 90s? Hogan comes back in like 93 to WWF before
out of retirement. He wasn't fighting for a while.
He wasn't fighting for a while. Correct. Now, the funniest thing is that he's clearly not on the roids as much,
oh, really?
And he looks terrible.
Wow.
And you can watch, he's wrestling Yokozuna at King of the Ring 93, and I think it's Jim Ross. He's like, Hulk Hogan using the strategy of having a panther-like physique to outmaneuver the larger Yokozuna. And they just talk about like how he did that as a fucking strategy.
Fucking lame.
Yeah.
That's what they do in acting class when somebody's like, okay, you know, the teacher gives critique.
Yeah.
Like, that's good. Now, here's the thing. You're coming in to tell your wife that you're leaving her and she's got cancer.
Yeah.
But it seems like you're kind of like not really feeling that at all, like kind of jovial.
Yeah.
And then the actor realized like, oh, yeah, that was bad. Yeah. So instead of going, fuck, yeah, you're right, man. I should be way harsher. They go, no, well, the character, see, the only way he could do this is to like, put it, you know, push it back in his head. And you're like, yeah, you're just making shit up now.
Yeah. So Hogan, I think ultimately he will be seen as the greatest because that, you know, that was when wrestling was getting national for the first time.
For the first time. That's how Chuck Liddell was like when he was on the billboards. Yeah. It was like,
and I think Hogan's like the ratings were bigger. The money wasn't bigger than Austin, but the ratings were bigger.
And it was the only
game visibility,
in town, right?
Yeah. And Austin's movies haven't, you know, had as much of an impact as, you know, Hogan's. And it's just that, you know, Rocky is a huge fucking franchise. Just to say you were in Rocky III.
It's pretty massive.
Yeah.
It's bigger than those John Cena movies where you're like, oh yeah. Isn't that the wrestler guy?
Yeah.
You know, and you're like.
Or even Austin and Expendables. It's still bigger than Expendables. Yeah.
Expendables sucks.
Yeah. So I would say.
Shoot them. Shoot these old men. Why are you waiting and fighting them one-on-one? Shoot them.
No, just wait till 10 when they're asleep.
Poison their early bird breakfast.
Yeah. We can put explosives in their dentures. any other questions about other wrestlers? Or?
Well, Hulk, that was a big one.
Yeah.
I liked how his nips kind of went under his pecs. I mean, he was on Saturday Night Live as I'm going to tune into Saturday Night Live because maybe it's because I was a kid, bro.
Oh, yeah, that's totally it.
I was in the right age range for Saturday Night Live and for Hulk Hogan.
Wrestling's a lot like religion, you know. If you're raised on it and it comforts you, who did?
So be it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is women's place in wrestling?
I mean, there is no one.
The last I saw, there were a lot of female managers of the wrestlers.
Yeah, valets, they're called.
And then they fought like once in a long while, but not really.
Now they have like, it's called.
Valets, they're called?
Yeah, that was back then. Now they have the divas division, and they're the female wrestlers. And most of them are like models and actresses.
Yeah,
and
they're all super hot.
There's a few that like were on the indies and like can you know, wrestle well, but a lot of them are just fucking terrible. There's no one on the equivalent of a Ronda Rousey.
Was China like that?
China was popular. I mean, Sable was popular. Sable was fucking terrible.
And Sable's Brock Lesnar's wife?
Yeah. But she, like...
She was terrible, just massive?
Yeah, she couldn't... I mean, the thing is, even though wrestling is fake, some people can do it and some can't, you know?
Yeah.
There's still an art to throwing a pulled punch. There's still an art to...
Jumping up, catching somebody's neck with your legs and spinning them over and then them jumping at the same time so it looks like...
Even when like The Rock came back or Batista came back, you know, they were winded. They were gassing. Like, you know, which is a, you know, UFC thing, but it's like, it's still...
You could see them going like, whoa, you guys aren't...
Oh, yeah, and they're out of shape and wheezing and shit.
And you don't want to see that.
Oh, there would be moments where the Ultimate Warrior would like run to the ring and then he just... Because he used all his energy.
Did the Ultimate Warrior fight for like 3 decades?
Not really.
Did they replace him? He came in towards the... Okay, I left
It was always
wrestling.
The same guy.
It was the same guy.
Jim Hellwig, yeah.
And I left wrestling right about when he came in to WWF.
88?
Right about there, yeah. And it was Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper and Jake the Snake and Brutus the Barber.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very clear. These guys, this is who these guys are.
Yeah.
George the Animal Steel was great.
Yeah.
This is a crazy person. And then
Who was a Detroit school teacher who never gave up his school teaching job?
Really?
He would mostly wrestle in the summers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty funny.
Oh, there's a lot of those stories that like, oh, I like that's why I like wrestling. Yeah.
And then not Million Dollar Man or whatever that happened, but then it was like, all right, now you're getting new guys, and I don't yeah. Ultimate Warrior. I saw him do this thing though, but they
like SNL. Yeah. Who are these fucking
kids? I'm used to the old guys, but you got to replace, I guess.
Yeah.
But they threw him out of the fucking ring. Somebody threw him out of the ring.
Yeah.
And then they turned their back.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why wrestlers are still turning their backs, but like you're not learning from your mistakes. They threw him out, then turned their back, started going like this. Ultimate Warrior caught himself,
yeah,
on the ring, kind of like that fucking Great Giants catch, all the way over, but yeah. held on with both yeah. hands to the fucking ropes, pulled himself back in, but to go be behind him where his hands are behind him.
I know,
and then pulled himself back in as everyone's going nuts, and the wrestler who threw him out is like, "Yeah, you're cheering for me," like when a comic fucks with another comic
and
on stage,
turns around
and he's right there.
Oh yeah,
I mean that's like, and they were calling out, "This is the most athletic guy that's ever yeah. played the game." Like, no one else could do moves like that.
Yeah.
Was that all just hype, or was he athletically gifted?
He was mostly a muscle head. Okay. I mean, he was mostly a roid guy, and his promos, they're so of the 90s. And he's one of the guys that Hulk Hogan put over, like, lost to him cleanly. You know, cleanly means, like, it's not screwy at all. It's like, I hit you with my finisher, you're done, that's it. And he beats him. And then he's the champion for a year. He was my guy. He was my gateway, Ultimate Warrior. You know, I'm 31. So that was when I was like, you know, he won the championship when I was 7 years old. And I loved fucking comic books already. And then there's this fucking real life superhero. Yeah. My stepdad's bald. Hulk Hogan's bald. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Remember, dad issues. Always goes back to it. And and I absolutely just fell in love with the Warrior.
Wow. And you like Undertaker too, right? You came into the roast battle with Undertaker music, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just because it was the... I was a big Paul Bearer guy. I loved the guy he was with. My Undertaker. His manager.
Oh.
He was this big roly-poly fat guy. Oh, yeah. And his name was Paul Bearer.
Really?
I mean, that right there. I mean, it's so fun.
That's like fucking... What are those people that dress up? Trannies? They always, yeah. not trannies though.
Drag queens?
Yeah, but they have these names like that.
Oh, the innuendo, yeah.
Yeah, innuendo names, yeah.
Well, I love watching RuPaul's Drag Race is pretty close to pro wrestling.
Really?
Oh, it's all the pageantry and the politics.
So that's what
crime.
It's about, pageantry. That's the word.
That's a lot of it. Pageantry. And escapism. It's so much about escapism.
Turn off and like, is it fake? Like, yeah, shut up. Who cares? Yeah. Let me just get into this.
Yeah, it's and that you know that certain things are going to happen that make you happy, you know.
Yeah.
Like I could go see you know, a football game, you know, tonight, and my team may never get a touchdown,
right? You might not get an onside kick, you might not
but
get
like
anything.
You said in most wrestling matches, the back and forth, half that match I'm so fucking happy because my guy is one, even if he loses in the end.
Yeah, at least he played a good showing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah when Randy Couture beat Tim Sylvia.
Yeah.
In Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Loudest I've ever heard a place until Brazil. But I mean, he won the first round, and people are like, wait, what? He's 39, moving up a weight class and coming out of retirement. And he's beating a guy who is the champion.
Yeah.
And he won the first round.
Oh,
and he
yeah.
won the second round, and people are like, wait, oh my God. If he wins another round, he win by decision. And then he won the third round.
Oh,
and
yeah.
People are like, now just don't lose for two rounds. But just every time I got a punch, or anybody who gets a punch against GSP when they decide they hate him, just one punch, and people are like, yeah, we're doing it. And it's like, relax, or Ronda Rousey. It's like, it's one punch.
Oh, yeah. But you need those moments.
Yeah, you do need those moments.
Because if it's all squash matches, if it's no offense every single time,
that's my problem with the women's division in the UFC. No one's challenged Ronda Rousey. Until somebody wins a round against her, I'm not interested.
Yeah. But it's also they're building that as it's going along, you know?
Yeah, true. But so I'll be interested when they've built it.
Yeah.
You watch UFC stuff?
Sometimes, not as much.
Do you enjoy it?
Every once in a while. It depends. I think, you know, I think they have the same problem that WWE does in a lot of ways, which is oversaturation.
Oversaturation is definitely a problem with the UFC.
Yeah. You know, and... I mean, there's certain things you can't help. Like in wrestling, you know, people get injured all the time, and then you know, it's not as fun. I mean, this is probably the worst year for UFC injuries, where they lost a lot of their
main events. Are like, we're like, oh fuck, and then scrambling. Like, who wants to watch this card now?
But shit like Chael will get me in. That's what I want to see.
I told him once. I was like, dude, you're the best trash talker in MMA. And he was like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's an actor, but he was like, hey, thanks, man. Thank you.
Well, that's a part of it, but he's also just the least worst, you know? Like, what's his competition, really?
Right, no, none of them, really.
No.
Yeah, I hate when I see bad trash. Tito used to be terrible. He'd have good trash at the post-fight conferences, but he would write these things.
Oh, yeah.
So if you retorted with something, then he was lost.
Well, that was, I remember when, like, in Brock Lesnar beat Mir at like UFC 100. He's like, I'm gonna go home and fuck my wife and drink a Coors
because I don't get paid by Bud Light. I'm gonna drink a Coors Light. They talked to him. Oh, yeah. So the post fight conference after that, he was like, no, Bud Light's good. Let's not. Dana was like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? This ain't your old organization, man. Can't do shit like that.
But people shit on that. It's like, I'm glad that
happened. Loved it. I loved it when I saw it. I might have been there. It was great,
dude. Punk may get his fucking ass kicked, but I hope that he brings some of what he – you know what? You know what they should do with him more than anything? They should have him teaching guys.
Teaching guys rest or talking.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's like that's the part of me that I – you know, look, Anderson Silva – those guys, Silva,
when they do it badly, it sounds so contrived and fake.
Oh, yeah. You're but like, Anderson Silva is like a great fighter, undeniably. Yes. Like, the athleticism is insane. That Forrest Griffin match is one of the most amazing things I've ever
Keep
seen.
Bringing it.
But he looks like a platypus, and he sounds like a duck. I go in, and I win. Like, I don't fucking care. Like,
we have
a
sports podcast, Punch Drunk Sports, and we have people calling in as Nick Diaz or as every once in a while Anderson Silva will call in. Like, well, I mean, Nick, I mean, I know because he's a regular. I'm like, I'd love to see what Nick Diaz – I mean, what Anderson says about all this trash, and the phone will ring, and you know it's one of our comic friends, and they go – hey, I don't think Diaz like, it's just such a ridiculous impression.
Well, it's even like,
but it's close.
Manny Pacquiao. It's like there's no natural charisma.
You need that.
You're good at something. I mean, that's to me. It's like,
or shut up and leave, like Barry Sanders did. Where it's like, fine, I'm not.
It's like watching a one-liner guy, where it's like, you know, you are technically sound. You understand the craft. You are good at what you do. I'm just not entertained by it.
I'm just not entertained.
If minute 3 feels like minute 40, there's a problem.
What should people think? Let's wrap up soon, I guess.
Okay.
And we can find you at
on
Twitter.
At the Mike Lawrence on Twitter, MikeLawrenceComedy.com. My album Sadamantium on sale. And
your album
tour
what?
Dates. Sadamantium.
Sadamantium?
Yeah.
Is that your second album?
That's my first, my only, yeah.
The one you did at Nerdmelt?
Yeah.
Meltdown. I was there for the first taping.
Yeah.
It's on iTunes. Okay, very nice.
Yeah.
What would the things be? Do you have any big dates come? I don't know. I'll ask you actually when this comes out. I don't know when this is going to come out.
That's okay.
It's not even.
Yeah.
Not even.
But they're on the website.
Okay. At MikeLawrenceComedy.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What would you tell people to get them into wrestling? To people like Adina? To people like, they're like, I don't know, man. Like, not people who hate it, because you can't get through to those people.
I mean, the gateway is Beyond the Mat.
What is it?
Documentary.
Okay.
I don't know if it's still on Netflix. It was, and I showed it to Adina because, and even The Wrestler, I think those two.
You like The Wrestler, the movie The Wrestler?
I love The Wrestler. It's great. Because I think getting that human connection first and seeing them as people before you ever watch them perform, I think is vital. Hmm. I think that the stereotype of the roided, yelly guy still permeates wrestling, and I don't think it's
the roided,
yeah, because a lot of the guys are smaller now. I mean, you have a guy like Dolph Ziggler who like performs at the UCB, and
no way, really,
yeah. And fucking CM Punk is on Talking Dead all the time. And like wrestlers now, it's funny, like the old wrestlers are like these fucking new wrestlers with their comic books and video games. I'm like, yeah, they're doing that so they don't die like you did,
yeah.
But I mean, look at comedy.
That's the same thing. Old comics always. I hated that when I started. Like, oh, these comics don't know. I was too young for them to be talking about me.
Yeah.
You know, but I saw them talking about guys who were 5 years like further along than me. They're like, they don't know anything. They're all. I'm like, man, you seem bitter.
Yeah.
I know you're not talking about me, but that guy's funnier and more interesting than you are.
Well, it's
we're not
also
talking about Louis C.K. talking about guys like that. We're talking about guys who are like, yeah, there's no place for you here anymore. You're a has-been. You're a wash-up.
Oh, yeah.
You're no longer relevant.
I did a roast, and one of the roast jokes that a guy had about me was, Mike Lawrence is so irrelevant that when you look on his Wikipedia page, there's a podcast section. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had like WTF and You Made It Weird in my own podcast. I'm like, yeah, I want people to know about that stuff.
Yeah, like, I don't get you think that's an insult, but I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
I don't see what you're saying.
Yeah. Would you turn down these podcasts? Yeah.
Like they grew up on TV being the only way, and then they're like...
Well, there's morning radio guys, like guys who, you know, comics who, you know, did morning radio a lot, and they're like, what the fuck is this podcast? You can't go in, do your bits 5 minutes. I'm like, people don't want to hear that anymore.
Yeah, I see that with New York comics a little bit, as opposed to LA comics. They're a lot, not all, but a lot more like, all right, it's coming on to the hour. Are we done now? What do we have to, and it's like, dude, just relax and talk.
Yeah.
Just relax and talk, man. This isn't morning radio.
I feel like people like fans a lot of ways, like, yeah, of course the stand-up's probably going to be good, or, yeah, I know that that's going to be funny, but who are you as a person?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And that's why I would say Beyond the Mat is a great gateway.
Okay, I'll watch it.
Documentary.
Beyond the Mat. Even if it's not on Netflix, it is available on illegal torrents.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very popular.
In the world.
I'm sure it's even on YouTube, but it's really great. It profiles Mick Foley, Jake the Snake, and a guy named Terry Funk mostly, but it goes into other parts of wrestling.
Terry Funk? I like that name.
Yeah. If you've seen one wrestling documentary, that's the one you've seen, and it's awesome.
I noticed this about my stand-up once. I was in Sacramento, the Punchline. And it was a podcast been going on for maybe 2 years, and I was on Rogan's for another year before that.
Yeah, yeah.
People gotten to know me a little bit. I did some bit about not cleaning my apartment or my room. And yeah. There was some lady like five rows back, and her reaction was, oh, Ari. And I was like, that's such a personal response.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I remember I opened for Maren once, and I worked at McDonald's for 7 years.
She's I got to talk to you about that. That's what I had in my book, to talk about McDonald's. Have you talked about it to death already?
I third episode.
I'm saying, not now. Can we do another?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was glad.
I had in my book, it might be not this book, but of like, podcast on the, it was like, it was after that. Oh, I texted you about
well,
that.
Well, I'll end on saying this, that the height of my wrestling fandom was when I worked there.
At McDonald's. Okay, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. I would go, you know what was great was, there was one guy that I would go to the matches with, and that was super fun. But then there was a guy there that did believe that they were real, and that was the most fun I've ever had talking about wrestling. I remember one time I sat next to a kid with cerebral palsy at a wrestling event, and it was the best.
It's actually pronounced cerebral palsy.
I'm sorry. But the fucking the kid was like losing his mind and having a great time, and we
really?
Were both into it, and it was just like, this is fucking great. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. This made me realize this. This is a guy, Jim Painter, who was like the influence on most of my class of comics.
Yeah.
He's out of comedy now. But he'd work the phone rooms, like with all of us, and Eliminate would come on.
Yeah.
And he would watch that like it was the fucking Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously that's not real, and it's been taped a while ago.
Yeah.
But when somebody got eliminated, someone who was hotter than someone else, he would be like, are you kidding me? And not like tongue-in-cheek. He's like, that's fucking ridiculous. Or he goes, only because there's a black person and they can't eliminate the one black person before the two white people. It's fucking bullshit. He would get so into
it.
It's so much fun to watch with him.
Now, the final question I'll ask you is, would you rather sit there and judge him, or would you want to be a part of that?
Be a part of it. Let
exactly.
go and be a part of it.
That's
right. I know, especially LA people, they were like, oh, I'm above this. You want to be... you don't want to be about the moment instead of in the moment. Be in the moment.
And I watch The Voice sometimes, and I'm like, fuck yeah. You sing that Whitney song, you know?
You gotta
do
it that way.
I know how the sausage is made, but it's like, who gives a fuck? Because why would I want to live my whole life analyzing something? Why would I want to be the guy who watches a wrestling match and goes, this is fucking fake and not real? I mean...
It's like
most
going to
drama
a fine,
isn't.
Yeah. It's like going to a fine restaurant and wanting to know more about how they prepared it than actually tasting it and be like, wow, delish.
Yeah. Abbott.
Yeah, you're right. You want to get into it with a person who's
Abbott
going
crazy. And Costello weren't asking each other who's on first for the first time in front of the camera. It's okay.
That's why I love the roast battle. You can get so upset and so mad.
Yeah.
I love when there's a bad round judgment. I'm like, bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
That was not.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
And that's a part of it, too, is like in a roast battle, there can be upsets. Most of it is choreographed. It's all pre-written for the most part.
Yeah.
But then there's real moments. There's moments where someone's feelings are hurt. There's moments where a crowd turns on a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's amazing how genuineness, though. I was at J.F. Harris's show at the place the Bunga,
yeah,
Bunga Room or something like that on 14th.
Mm-hmm.
But what was yesterday? Tuesday.
Yeah.
So Tuesday nights. But like, there was a new comic. Some new comics go up there, and it was kind of boring and whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's this moment that I've seen a lot of new comics do this, and they go, they say something, and then or someone will leave. And just go, oh, I guess this was too annoying for you, and then back in, and everyone laughs because for one moment. They really talk like themselves.
Yeah.
And it was like, the
self-awareness.
Just capture that. Yeah. Do more of that.
Yeah.
Not the shit you wrote. Do more of just be you.
See, what they should do is sit Indian style and be like, every single week I'm booked on this fucking thing and I get bumped by this guy and this guy. And he's phoning it in. And
yeah.
I mean, that's all CM Punk did was just fucking have the conversation that me and you have every time we talk about comedy. But he did it in front of a camera. And that was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wrestling, baby.
Wrestling, baby. All right. Thanks so much.
You got it.
I asked you to go to the Green Day concert. You said you never heard of them. How cool is that? So I went to your room and read your diary. Watching Grunge Leg drop New Jack to a press table. And then my heart stopped listening to Cho Cho San. Fall in love all over again. I'm a lot like you, so please, hello, I'm here, I'm waiting.
I want to thank you and your fans right away, too. I forgot that last time.
Well, it's already going, so you did it. Moving on.
Seriously, thank you
for
letting me do my album on your podcast and all your fans and listeners, really.
Yeah, we met a lot of fans this weekend who heard it.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Thank you so
much. Denver.
It was great. So thank you guys for listening to Remember This. And
we're Steve Simone again. We left Denver. We're now in Los Angeles.
Yep.
Super Bowl's over.
What a game.
What a crazy finish.
That was the dumbest play.
Who goes for it? I mean, who
throws a pass on a half a yard?
You never put the ball in the air. You know how, like, never. At the end of a half, you're like, all right, just don't make any mistakes here. Just keep running it.
Exactly.
Don't make any mistakes. Like
that's
passing
it. No
it.
Turnovers.
Just run it.
You have the...
Run it and call
timeout.
You
have a guy named Beast Mode, and you don't even need a yard. A half a yard. Garbage.
Run it.
And I feel bad for the guy that made the catch right before that. That was the most incredible catch I've ever seen.
Yeah, he really would have. He could have owned car dealerships in the Seattle area.
For the rest of his life.
The rest of his life if just Lynch takes that in. That guy would cut the ball off his legs.
Yeah, if Lynch doesn't get tackled right there, totally different.
That guy's
destiny.
A celebrity forever. This guy, remember the 2015 Super Bowl?
Absolutely.
He's the one who caught the ball off his leg.
100%. Yep. Incredible.
Incredible. Well, that's the episode.
Yeah.
With Mike Lawrence.
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. So, like, okay, let me ask you a question. Also, don't forget to see Mike Lawrence at Zany's February 13th through the 15th.
And also, if you follow Mike Lawrence on Twitter, Dolph Ziggler tweeted at him today. And I'm.
Did he really?
Yeah, that's so cool.
Who's Dolph Ziggler?
He's a pro wrestler that also does comedy.
Oh.
He's really nice.
Yeah. Chicago. Go see him. Go get tickets right now. So now, when you got into wrestling, it's kind of when my little heyday was the Hulk Hogan era.
Yeah, the glory days.
The glory days.
Yep.
What did Hulk Hogan mean? I mean, you have bits about it, but like, what did Hulk Hogan mean?
He changed. He took wrestling from a regional promotion type business.
Yeah.
And turned it into mainstream family
it was
entertainment.
Like he was the best in the world. He wasn't just the best in this area.
Yes, he. He beat the Iron Sheik, I believe it was January 23rd, 1984.
Yeah, he just posted that shit. Fucking garbage cheap shot to start the fight. Sheik hadn't even gotten his robe off.
Yeah, he just attacked.
It's bullshit. He just waited for the ref to get out of the way. It's like, that ain't honorable.
Well,
the whole first half of the fight's going one way because of the first cheap shot.
Well, here's
Sheik
the
never gets
thing.
His bearings.
Yeah, it's not fair. Well, the interesting thing about the whole Hulkamania phenomenon.
Yeah.
It actually started in Minnesota before it ever came to the WWF.
Why?
Because there was a regional AWA promotion there. And legend has it that guy offered the Iron Sheik $50,000 to break Hulk Hogan's leg.
To say, if you do that, I'll set you up here, get $50,000. Just break.
Yeah, just break his leg. Because the Iron Sheik was legit badass.
Wow.
Wow. He used to be he was like a silver medalist in the Olympics, I think, and a bodyguard for the Shah of Iran.
It is crazy to see him now.
I know.
See the shell of a man that he is now.
Oh, he's got to be like 70-something.
I know, but he's so shot up. I mean, that's that guy's pissing his pants all the time.
Oh, and like, I didn't know that.
He's half crazy. I was on stage once in the OR, and he comes in. And he's like, I want to thank the Shafir Jew. I make him humble. And I'm like, oh, thanks, Sheikh. But like, I'm in the middle of a set, man.
Well, the first night he came to the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Do you remember you, me, Ren Azizi? I got up really late. It was really late at night.
When you got on stage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew he was in the audience, and Russell Peters brought him up on stage holding his belt.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody, there's a MySpace picture of that somewhere.
Yeah.
That was so cool. And he put me in the camel clutch that night.
Did he really?
Yes. Like half version.
That was one of my best memories is having your buddy, Roddy Roddy Piper, beat me up at the Improv.
Oh, my! I was scared that night.
I forgot. What do you mean you're scared?
Because he made it look so, like, because this is what he said to me. He was at the front bar.
I forgot all about that.
Because you remember, he goes like this, what's this I hear? Ari's a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Is he going to try to shoot on me? I'm like, no.
I'm a white belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
It was so high school.
What's this I hear about?
I was like, no, he won't.
When I was beating up Bobby Lee all the time, Kevin Christie said, look, Ari, now that you're taking, you know, jiu-jitsu, it's like you could be tried as like hurting someone with deadly force. I'm like, Kevin, it's fucking 8 months. I'm horrible. I don't think that I can be tried as someone with a deadly weapon.
Do you feel like that 8 months made you better, though?
Oh, yeah.
It had
sure.
to have, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, against someone who didn't know what they were doing at all.
Yeah, you could just choke
them out. I was putting O'Neill in fucking triangles in La Jolla, drunk, with corduroys on.
Really?
Yeah, corduroy markings all over his face.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and he's strong.
Yeah, why did you stop doing that?
I was getting hurt all the time. Plus, I got ringworm and staph infection.
Oh, gotcha.
At different times. I think two of one of the other.
They do
two
say
two ringworms, one staph.
It's really easy to get hurt doing
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and then the hurts. And then Callum was like, dude, you're 36. What are you doing? 35, yeah. Whatever I was then, it's like I was like, yeah, you're right. This is when I should be slowing down. I was a professional athlete.
Right.
Anyway.
And you were training with killers.
Yeah, but it was a fun class. Eddie Bravo had to teach a fun class.
Yeah, he's really cool.
But yeah, back Hulk then, Hogan. Though, too. Yeah, so Hulk Hogan, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He represented what? Like America and goodness and like.
Yeah. He
was like Superman.
Yes, he was like a cartoon character brought to life. And he was actually a real person that became a cartoon character.
What do you mean?
There was the WWF cartoon where the bad guys lived in a junkyard, if memory serves me right. And it was like Hulk Hogan. The good guys were like Hulk Hogan, Junkyard Dog, Andre the Giant, Jimmy
Andre the Giant was a good guy?
Yeah.
I remember in that video, Andre the Giant saying, congratulating him on winning.
Yes. Yeah, the video I tweeted out because afterwards when he like poured champagne on the Hulkster's head when he won the title.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Back then, there were good guys versus bad guys.
There were definitely good guys versus bad guys.
Yeah, and they came back. It was very much like theater. Ancient Greek tragedies. The good guys would enter from one locker room and the bad guys would enter from another locker room.
Like they were all together hanging
all
out.
All together. And the guys took it so seriously then that good guys and bad guys could not be seen together on the road. And that's where like that carny stuff would come into play. Like if they were like splitting a rental car somewhere.
Yeah.
And they went to get a bite to eat in some middle of nowhere diner, but they spotted like somebody that was a wrestling fan or whatever, they would go kayfabing. And then that meant act like now it's on.
Oh, I saw
you. What are
you
doing here? Yeah.
Do you know my place?
That sort of stuff. And back then, when before, for tax purposes, the WWE said it was entertainment and not sport because there was different licensing from sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But prior to that, there were promoters that if you lost a fight outside the ring, you'd be fired.
Why? Because it was bad for your image?
It was bad for the sports image.
Right.
And then there were other promoters that would give you bonuses if you beat people up outside
the
ring.
In the street.
Yeah, because it would sell tickets.
Wow. A known criminal.
Yeah, it's bad. And yeah, some of those guys would beat people up for money and stuff. They were like legit tough guys.
Jesus.
So cool.
Huh. Well, yeah, I remember they're very clear-cut like prototypes too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It was good versus evil.
I liked it back in that day, and then it lost me after a bit. I mean, once after Million Dollar Man, and he bought the belt, which was interesting.
Yes, everybody's got a price. It was so good.
And he represented something, but then it was like, once the, who's the guy who had kind of like...
The Ultimate Warrior.
Ultimate Warrior. He came in, and then I just sort of fell off right after that.
Yeah.
Because he didn't really represent anything. He represented Zulu a little bit.
He was crazy. Warriors.
Yeah.
And I think part
and
of
the Undertaker.
Yes. I remember I had baby cousins that were afraid of The Undertaker, and I thought it was awesome.
Really?
Yeah, because he had a manager named – his name was Paul Bearer. How great's that?
Paul Bearer?
Yeah.
Paul Bearer?
Paul Bearer. Undertaker. It was scary. But then, I sort of fell out of it a little bit. And then in college, there was this guy named Big Van Vader.
Yeah.
Who was in WCW, and I was like, oh, that guy's cool. And then there was something in Philly called ECW Wrestling – that got me back into it.
ECW.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was the greatest.
Yeah, Big J talks about that they broke the rules and they went like overboard with their storylines were like
crazy.
Breaking and entering, like home invasion,
yeah.
You know, taking your wife hostage.
There was this guy named Paul Heyman. That was his brainchild, who's now, in my opinion, the most entertaining guy on television. I watch wrestling on Monday nights because of Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
He's so great. He's so funny, so smart. But this ECW thing where it was the first, they called it Extreme Championship Wrestling, and they really blurred the line between what was real and what was scripted, both in the ring and with, they started to change the promos for things.
Right.
And guys would really bring real life incidents and use that. It was almost like method acting.
Wow.
And start to talk about real things.
In their promos. The fans,
yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, Mike talks about the promos. He talked about it.
The greatest. Where
they come from, what they mean.
Yeah, they were so awesome. Like, I'm sure he probably talked about Ric Flair's promos and Dusty Rhodes' promos.
Mm-hmm. And CM Punk's, that big one where he said he was leaving.
The pipe bomb. CM Punk's awesome. I think if you got to see, that's when I got back. Okay, so ECW got me back into it. And then the WWF sort of took ECW style, and they ushered in what was called the Attitude Era with Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock, and that was awesome.
Yeah.
And then the WCW brought in Hulk Hogan and made him a bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
So it was the New World Order. It was.
How much did they have to pay him to do that?
I have no idea. But it was chaos. That brought everybody back to wrestling. This was like...
Because he's old. That was a bad
97?
Guy.
97?
Yeah.
And then from like 97 to like 2000, 2001, it was really good again. And then... I just got busy. I stopped watching TV, and I would fall in and out over the last 15 years. Something would get me really excited, and I follow a storyline.
So it is a lot of that, following storylines.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think is more entertaining right now? Professional wrestling?
Yeah.
Or Saturday Night Live?
Pro wrestling. And they're both terrible right now compared to what they were. I shouldn't say that. I know there's a lot of people working really hard with both products.
You can still work hard on something that comes out bad. You can mix great paints if somebody fucks it up with their paintbrush.
Yeah, like the only SNL episode I saw this year was the Jim Carrey one, and I couldn't make it through the whole thing.
It was terrible, you think?
Yeah, I didn't think it was good.
Well, they can't all be fucking gone with the wind.
No, that's what makes awesome things. That's why I said, like, I remember telling you during the intro, when pro wrestling works, there's nothing better. Like, the roof will literally explode off a building.
God.
And then last year, I was at WrestleMania. Gabriel took me to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And The Undertaker had this undefeated streak for over 20 years, and he lost. And in the opposite of the roof blowing up, you literally
Undertaker
heard...
Undertaker hadn't lost in 20 years?
Yeah.
Was he a belt holder?
No, he just had this undefeated WrestleMania streak.
Oh, at WrestleMania, undefeated.
And you heard it go quiet. It's the weirdest thing ever. Like, all the energy in the building was sucked out, and everybody kind of thought it was an accident. Like, the referee messed up.
Right.
Like, what? And it just went. And no other form of entertainment can do that. None.
There's two times I've ever seen that in sports. It's we went to me, Taylor, Carboni, and Reap. We're all in San Diego at the same time. Reap had an extra ticket to the Chargers Panthers game.
Mm-hmm.
And so Taylor and Carboni got tickets of their own.
Nice.
And then we tailgated.
So much fun.
Yeah, it was great. But after terrible clock management, Carolina was marching down the field and threw a 19-yard touchdown with 0 seconds on the clock.
Wow.
In San Diego. And everybody just
all
looks.
All their fans.
He's in. Like, there's no flags. Everybody just goes silent.
Wow.
That and then the ACC tournament where Wake Forest, Randolph Childress, was dribbling on the outside against Jeff McInnes,
maybe
defensive player of the year, 97, let's say.
Okay.
And Randolph Children crossed him over. McInnes fell to his knees, fell down on the crossover. And Randolph Children gives him the come here, like get up,
no
come here,
way.
Come here, come here, and then launches a three. And when he like gives him the come here, everybody's like, no way. And just goes quiet. The ball's in the air, perfectly quiet. goes to the net, explosion.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. In the ACC title game.
That's incredible. I'm going to YouTube that tonight.
Yeah. I wonder how close it is to the way I remember it.
I was there.
We went and got tickets.
No, you saw that live?
My friend got arrested for scalping.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know people got arrested for that.
He was a Maryland fan. Yeah. Me and my brother and my friend, my eventual roommate in L.A., we all went. He got arrested for scalping. He drew it off his record. But like, you know, expunged. That's a very Jewish word. But yeah, he sold his ticket to a cop. He wanted to sell it for the championship game, make all his money back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. And he was like, he caught wind of it too. He goes, are you trying to sell this to me? And he goes, no, I'm not. I'm not. It's too late. You're arrested for scalping. No, I don't want to arrest. I don't want to sell it to you.
That sucks.
Yeah.
No.
Because no one came to the seat next to me.
So, because your friend wasn't there?
Yeah, he was trying to sell that ticket.
So you're like, sorry, dude, I have to go see this game.
No, I wasn't with him. They were going to go scalp it. I was like, well, I was a Tar Heel fan. So I was like, I'm going to go watch. This is amazing. They were like, Maryland's out. They lost in the semifinals.
Wow.
Anyway.
Yes, when sports, yes. See, that's the cool thing about pro wrestling. It's both sports and like a rock concert and like an action movie.
Storylines. That's what they try to do. That's what ESPN is trying to do now, where it's like, oh, this guy said this about him.
Yeah.
Like, guys, just cover the sports part.
Yeah, because it's that awesome. And I kind of feel that way. That's what's wrong with wrestling now. That, like, let's make it about, tell the story with the what goes on in the ring.
Right.
You don't need all these guys just grabbing the microphone and talking. You cheated on me with your girlfriend.
Yeah, come on, ridiculous. Man. How about I'm a better wrestler than you any day of the week?
Yeah, and let's go.
I'll crush you. Let's do this.
Dude, they had the best opportunity with Brock Lesnar.
Who was the honky tonk guy?
Honky tonk man was the Intercontinental Champ.
No, big in the old days, we had the 2x4.
Oh, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Guys like that, I loved.
He is so awesome. He's really good friends with Roddy Piper.
Really?
And he's hysterical. Like, he does Roddy's podcast with him every once in a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he played football for SMU during its glory days. And we were doing a podcast once, and he was like, yeah, we all used to say that as soon as you go to the NFL, you got to learn how to take a pay cut. Like, that's how, he's hysterical.
That's funny.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Well, all right. Very nice.
Yeah,
I'm fucking worn out from goddamn football and food.
Yeah, and
the Hollywood Pies was amazing.
Denver and travel. I was up. I had 2 hours sleep.
2 hours sleep. Well, thanks for doing the wrap up.
Thanks for having me. And honestly, all you guys, thank you for listening to that episode I did. All
right. Yeah, remember this. If you haven't seen it, do you remember what number it is?
No.
Okay, so remember this. It's about
like the beginning of November.
16, 17 weeks ago.
Yeah. Go see Mike Lawrence.
See Mike Lawrence. Go download my special if you haven't yet. You can get it at RETheGreat.com. There's a banner right up top. You can get it for $5 or that and the audio for $10. Just get it. Just listen to it. I mean, watch it. Do whatever.
Awesome.
There's extra stuff, too. There's a Q&A and the tour of the Comedy Store that you're in.
Yeah, that's what everybody's been tweeting at me.
We reenacted the Bobby Lee.
And I hit him in the nuts with the
Bobby Lee water balloon.
Oh, it felt
that was
so
great.
Good.
And you actually hit him. The one guy who's trying not to.
Terrible.
And use my Amazon link on my website, RETheGreat.com. I'll put in bonus features. I'll put in also a story from This Not Happening every week. I'll put in there. The Ali Sadiq one is out now. It's a great one. All right.
Cool.
Thanks, Simone.
Thanks, buddy.
Do you have anything to add or anything? Are you going to be anywhere soon? Edmonton.
Yeah, Edmonton.
When is that?
The 11th through 15th.
11th through 15th at the Comic Strip in Edmonton. Go see Steve Simone. And then if anybody skis.
Oh, yeah.
Simone just learned how to fucking snowboard.
Yeah.
He's looking for some more bunny slopes. I know there's some in Edmonton proper, like 20 minutes outside. There's fucking hills, little hills. I'm telling you.
I'm going.
Yeah. Get a board. Get a snowboard. You can rent them for the day. I rented skis for the day there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Bring those clothes.
Yeah. I bought the gloves.
Yeah, you bought the gloves. There you're set.
I bought the snow pants.
Then you're set.
That's it.
No, I'm jealous of you.
Really cool.
I want to go skiing too.
Well, we have to start doing that.
God, that was fun.
Nearby ski stuff.
Yeah.
We have to do more road trips.
All right. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 204. Wrestling. That's it. Thank you, guys.
Have you ever seen a scarecrow filled with nothing but dust and weeds? If you ever seen that scarecrow, then you've seen me. Have you ever seen a one-armed man punching at nothing but the breeze. If you ever seen a one-eyed man, then you seen me. Then you seen me. I come and stand at every door. Then you seen me. I always leave with less than I had before. Then you seen me. But I can make you smile when the blood it hits the floor. Tell me, friend, can you ask for anything more? Tell me, can you ask for anything more? These things that have comforted me, I drive away. This place that is my home, I cannot stay. My only faith's in the broken bones and bruises I display. Have you ever seen a one-legged man trying to dance his way free? If you ever seen a one-legged man, then you seen me.
City that no one gives a fuck about. The terrorists, and the center of her asshole, and you go home tonight, you lick it, you get it on your tongue, and some other horrific shit happens that involves cancer. So all of you, 11 minutes left. 11 minutes. I hope somebody takes a fucking beer stein and just slaps you on the back of your zit-infested fucking shoulders and your awful man-tit tank tops. I hope that happens to you. I hope the glass fucking digs into your fucking shoulder blade. And then I see you afterwards. Hey, how's it going? You enjoy the fucking show? That's great. And I grabbed you by the fucking hair, but you don't have any. They really have to come to this, people. They really have to come to it. I really hope all of you run into all those black people that you love so much here in Camden. I really hope that happens. I hope there's a line of all of you guys getting fucking carjacked, and they take out their big black dicks, and they just shove them right in your fucking mouths, each and every one of you, and somehow they just keep repeatedly coming right in your fucking eyeballs until it builds up so much that your eyes, they fucking crust over. You can't see shit, and somehow there's another dick in there for you to suck. 10 minutes left. This is what you want.
This is what you want. It's a fucking
bunch of fucking losers. Fucking Rocky is your hero. The whole pride of your city is built around a fucking guy who doesn't even exist. You got fucking Joe Frazier is from there, but he's black, so you can't fucking deal with him. So you make a fucking statue for some 3-foot fucking Italian, you stupid Philly cheese eating fucking jackasses. I hope that cheese melts your fucking faces off. All of you collectively suck a fucking dick. A fucking booby. 9 hours into a fucking show. Look at you with your fucking Donovan McNabb shirt. I hope he snaps both his fucking ankles in the first goddamn game. I hope you go all in fucking 16. I said suck a dick. Left. The Flyers, do they even fucking exist anymore? A bunch of goddamn pansies. Haven't won shit since fucking Gerald Ford was in office. Why don't you just have the fucking ice capades down there, you assholes? You probably wouldn't even notice the difference. That fucking pussy team. Remember they had that whole season where they wore the slacks? You bunch of faggots. What else? What else? I attacked your mothers. It's 8 minutes. I'm doing it all. I'm fucking standing here. Look, I broke the mic stand. I got a little fucking cane now. I'm going to be the little observational comedian up here. What's that, sir? What do you have to say, sir? Never passed the fucking eighth grade. What brilliant shit are you going to fucking tell me, huh? Go back to the dock and go unload some shit. You fucking warehouse working, weed smoking, fucking disappointment for your mother. 7 minutes left. 7 motherfucking minutes left. And I'm doing all fucking 7. You fucking assholes. Fucking standing backstage for 3 hours to get booed by this GED fucking stupid ass piece of shit fucking crowd. Bunch of fucking losers. I hope your fucking radios fall on your head tomorrow. The fucking antenna goes right in your fucking ears.
In my hand already.
You fall out of one of those piece of shit buildings.
That would be funny.
Fuck all of you and fuck the Liberty Bell.
Yay!
And shove it up Ben Franklin's ass. What do you think about that? All of you motherfuckers, I hope that bridge collapses onto your pathetic lives. Go fuck yourselves. 6 minutes left, and I will be selling my CD after this shit, you motherfuckers. And the only way you get one is if I throw one at your fucking stupid heads, you bunch of racist fucking morons. Look at this. What are you taking a picture of, E-Rock, huh? This is the most, I'm saying all the shit I wanted to say for 14 minutes. This right here is the theme of my set, a broken mic stand. 3 motherfucking minutes left. 3 fucking minutes left. What's left? The Phillies, that faggot ass team named after a female horse, you bunch of pussies. You won one fucking World Series since 1880, uniforms? Your team should be selling cotton candy in the fucking instructional leagues. You have a soccer team? That's all I got left, huh? You got a fucking ping pong team? Some other shit-ass fucking team that's never going to win a championship? You guys haven't won a Super Bowl since they had face masks, you fucking jackass. Roman Gabriel running around a fucking leather helmet? Ah, suck a dick. Was he a dad or something? You don't know who the fuck he is. I had my fucking shirt for this shit. Went to the Banana Republic, picked a $20 shirt off the rack. Totally fucking ridiculous. Getting booed by people sitting in the fucking grass. Goddamn launch seats. It's fun, isn't it? It's great. I'm actually getting fucking paid right now, people. I'm getting paid to shit all over you guys. And your stupid fucking rock t-shirts of bands that no one gives a fuck about. 4 minutes left. Yeah. You with your Rush fucking t-shirts. I beat the shit out of my girlfriend. Yeah. That felt great. That really felt great. I want to thank you guys for having me. You guys were phenomenal. Each and every... Oh, no, I got 4 minutes left. I got four fucking minutes left to fucking talk about you cunts. That's not bad. That's not bad. 12-minute rant. That's the first time I said cunt. That's a fucking record. I'm going to finish my set by taking this mic stand bass like a fucking disc. I hope I hit a baby in the fucking head. The one fucking kid who would actually go to college in this fucking crowd. What's that, sir? Dave Chappelle, yes, he's not here. I wish I was on his fucking tour right now. Maybe I wouldn't have a bunch of cunts not fucking paying attention 4 hours into a goddamn show. 3 fucking minutes left. 3 minutes left in this motherfucking tirade.
Boring.
What's that? Sir, why are you screaming? You're in the front row, you dumb fuck. God, I hope this whole crowd, I just hope mass AIDS full blown. Like fucking you get weak as you walk to your fucking cars. You just pass out and they just find you.
Hey, Bill.
Next to your 83 fucking Monte Carlo with gravel embedded into the side of your fucking bald ass fucking heads.
Bill.
Yes.
What about Vincent Papalio?
What about what?
Vincent Papalio.
What about not fucking interrupting me, you jackass? Play a fucking
record.
That was
Patrice's idea, sorry.
I'm fucking trying to deal with this bullshit. Jesus Christ, the goddamn people on the show are giving me shit. So anyways, back to the jokes. I got a computer recently, people. Fucking motherfuckers. I'll put in 2 minutes left. The last 2 minutes is going to be my rider for the rest of this fucking tour. I go on first. I do 3 minutes. That's it. I come out here with a fucking gun, right? That's what I do. I come out with a fucking gun, hollow tip bullets, and I just start fucking shooting people, okay? And everybody's chained to their fucking chairs. I just blow all your fucking brains out, like just one after another. Just fucking walk. Two to the back of the head. Never ending. Coming out like a fucking Mexican with those two fucking crosses of bullets. I just blow all your fucking brains out. I would really enjoy blowing everybody's brains out. Just fucking, just the next day, somebody mopping up the 3 pounds of fucking brains that are actually in this goddamn crowd. 1 minute left in the period. I listen. This doesn't change anything, this set. I still fucking hate you people. I hate this fucking city. I hate the way you eat, your little shitty ass fucking Subway. And why don't you fucking build something for Joe Frazier and get that fucking idiot? You guys all gonna go see Rocky 19?
Oh, dude, I think it can win!